जयं शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हरशील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराशील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोड़ी वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य शिलहरदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की గంగమాయి కీ యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్తవృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరియస్ శీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ భూగలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమద్భాగవతాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి యోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరదశ్చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యల్ సూరయాం తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతమి శుశ్రూషుభీతక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పదరుర్గలితం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకాః సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే త్రయవినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేదిదన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం వినిమానతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమతిదీర్షదాం తమోన్నం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకునితాదృదాననేందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపి కాపి నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామిని नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविंदाभ्याम नमः। वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीनां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिकथोद्गीतं पुनादि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविंद परमानवे नमः। पीतांबरं करविराजित चक्रशंखं कौमोदगी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधा सहायमति सुंदरमंदहासं वातालये शमनिशं हृदि भावयामि। कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारक वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः। श्रीमद्राधिकाय नमः। सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम गोविंद गोविंद। परीक्षितुवाच ब्रह्मन् ब्रह्मण्य निर्देशे निर्गुणे गुणवृत्तया कथं चरन्ति श्रुतयः साक्षात् सदसदपरे। श्रीशुक उवाच बुद्धीन्द्रियमनप्राणान् जनानामसृजल् प्रभु मात्रार्थं च भवार्थं च आत्मने अकल्पनाय च। सैषा उपनिषद्भ्राह्मी पूर्वेषां पूर्वजैर्धृता श्रद्धया धारयेद्यस्तां क्षेमं गच्छेद् अकिञ्चनाः। अत्र ते वर्णयिष्यामि गाथां नारायणान्वितं नारदस्य संवादं हृषेर्नारायणस्य च। एकदा नारदो लोकान् पर्यटान् भगवत्प्रियां सनातनकृषिं द्रष्टुं ययौ नारायणाश्रमम्। यो वै भरतवर्षेऽस्मिन् क्षेमाय स्वस्थये नृणं धर्मज्ञानशमोपेदम् आकल्पादास्थितस्तव। तत्रोपविष्टं ऋषिभिः कलापग्रामवासिभिः परीदं प्रणदो पृच्छत् इदमेव कुरुद्वः। तस्मै हवोजोद् भगवान् ऋषीणां शृणुतामिदं यो ब्रह्मवादपूर्वेषां जनलोकनिवासिनाम्। सो लास्ट् फ्राइडे दैट वी हैव सीन दैट द वर्स वेयर he talks about saisha upanishad brahmi purvesham purvajay dridam shraddhaya dharayadyastam kshemam gacchet akinchana. So when Parikshit asked this question to Shuka Brahmarshi that brahman brahmanya nirdeshe nirgune gunavrtaya, that three modes of material nature is there present in everything, and even the words of the Shruti, Shruti Vakyam is mentioned here, Shruti words also, how will that present, how will it be able to explain that truth? How can it be, how is it in a position to talk about the truth, although because the words also of the Vedam under the three modes of material nature. We have seen there that that relationship with when we talk about Prahlada in Hiranyakashipu, we have seen there that he mentions there naham bibem ajidateti bhayanakasya, that words in the Prahlada Stuti we have discussed that. And also we mentioned there that Brahmanishta, that is what Parikshit is talking about. Brahmanishta Prahlada had, that Prahlada mentions here that Kshemam, that what Kshemam talked about here, Shraddhaya Dharayadhyastam Kshemam Gacchet Aginjana. What is that Kshemam? Kshemam is self-realization. Kshemam means self-realization or spiritual life or Shanti inside. That is the Kshemam, or that is in another way, it is called as Brahmanishta, situated on the truth, in the platform of the spiritual life. So, unless one makes this a vow in life to reach that state of self-realization as the goal, it is impossible, Krishna is, Shiva Brahmarshi is saying here, that to understand the absolute truth. Because here, he says here, in the third verse, he says, Buddhi, Indriyam, Manasa, Pranan, four things. Intelligence, senses, mind, and the Pranan, life air. Jananam, Asrajat, Prabhu. They have been created with the intention that it will help for dharma, artham, kamam, moksham. That means religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and eventually liberation. That was the idea behind that creation. So, you can see here that this Upanishads, what we are talking here, we're talking about, what Saisha Upanishad Brahmi, he says here, isn't it? So, in this Garbhash Vedastuti or Shruti Gita, Shuga Brahmarshi is saying, Saisha Upanishad Brahmi Purvesham Purvajair Dhritha, which means that this Upanishad's knowledge is not a new thing. It's not a new thing. It has been there for a long period of time, and not one or two people, many, many sages have gone through this passage, through this route of Upanishads. That's what the first thing. It is not a new thing. He is saying, Shuka Brahmarshi is saying there, in the past, many, many great personalities, Saisha Upanishad Brahmi, they have gone through this path of Upanishads towards the truth. Brahmi is the truth. Brahma Sakshatkaram or Brahmi Sthiti. Krishna calls it as Brahmi Sthiti in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So he is saying here, Saisham Upanishad Brahmi. Upanishad is the passage. Many, many people in the past have gone through to reach that state of Brahmi Sthiti. Brahmi Sthiti. So therefore, that is why you will see when this is spoken about in the Viveka Chudamani, how it is put forward is this, that how it is presented in the Viveka Chudamani is that a disciple is going to a spiritual master and asking questions. Disciple is going to a spiritual master and asking questions. That is how it is created. Swami Namaste Navaloka Nadaloka Bandho Karunya Sindho Patidam Pavabdho Mam Udvaratmiya Udma Kadaksha Drishtya Shushiyam Di Karunya Sudha Abhidrishtya Abhivrishtyam. Swami Namaste Nareloka Bandho. A disciple goes to the sage and he is asking him, Swami Namaste Nareloka Bandho. You are the friend of all the living entities. I pay my obeisances unto you. And Karunya Sindho Padidam Bhavabdho. Karunya Sindho. Karunya Sindho means you are a ocean of mercy. And what else? Padidam Bhavabdho. I have fallen into this cycle of birth and death. Bhavam. Bhavam means cycle of birth and death. And I don't see any way of escaping from this. So you can see that maturity in that disciple, that he has already come to that understanding that he is finding it difficult to stop this birth and death business. He has come to that state. He has come to understand that he does not know how to escape from here. So when he surrenders to the spiritual master, first thing he says to him, Swami Namaste Nataloka Bandho, that you are the friend of the that I pay my obeisances to you because you are the friend of all living entities. Karunya Sindho Padidam Bhavabdho Mam Udvaratmiya Kadaksha Drishtya. You are in a position to elevate anyone from your very vision, from by your very vision. Rishyatmi Karunya Sudhabhi Vrishtya. Karunya Sudhabhi Vrishtya. Karunya Sudha. That Karunya Sudha, that Karunya mercy that is coming from you, that straightforward glance from you is sufficient. which sheds nectar-like grace on me. He says like that. That is the way the spiritual master is approached by the disciples. So, please protect me, he says. The disciple says to a spiritual master, please protect me. I am suffering from this. So, this thing that Nayaloka Bandho Durvara Samsara Dhavagdi Nastam. I have, before this state comes, one has to know that one should have tried all other means. So many other ways and means we try in spiritual life, isn't it? Still he feels that distress has not gone. Because when one comes to spiritual life, ultimately the intention is that he wants to free himself from all distress at the end. Isn't it? That is the purpose behind it. So there is no more distress. Distress is because of the material body identification with the mind, etc. So those things has to go, and it hasn't gone, and distress hasn't gone. So therefore he says to him that I have understood one thing, that with my own abilities, my own cleverness, I cannot come out of this. Still it is burning inside me, burning inside me. That means that the disciple has tried very hard on his own, and he is not able to eliminate all the distress from inside, from within. So he says to the spiritual master like this, Swamin Namaste, I pay my obeisances to you. What is missing in my life? Please direct me in the right direction so I am able to come out of this misery of material existence. This is only showing the maturity of the disciple. The disciple has come to that state. So you can see here that everybody's intention is Durvara Samsara Dhavagni Tattvam Taptam. Durvara Samsara Dhavagni Taptam. What does that mean? Durvara Samsara Dhavagni. Samsara Dhavam, you know, Samsara Dhavan Analitha Loga. The burning fire of material existence. Everybody knows that. The burning fire of material existence. And what happens? Due to that fire of material existence, Samsara Dhava Agni Taptam. Everybody is burning in this world. That is reality. Dhruvara Samsara Dhavagni Taptam. Dhudhuyamanam Duradrishtavateihi. And that Samsara Dhava Agni, the fire of material existence, that it is shaken very violently by the winds which is flowing one after the other. Bidam Prapannam Paripahi Mrityo Sharanyam Anyadva Aham Na Jani. That it is showing that surrender of the disciple. The surrender, so this is the important thing, that till we realize these things, that material life is a misery, first thing. And material life is not only a misery, we are also creating many more life births after leaving this body, isn't it? We are generating new bodies all the time with our activities in this world. All kinds of activity. We are generating more and more material bodies. That means constantly we are leaving the body, changing the body, accepting another body, going through birth, death, old age and disease, and we do not know how to put an end to this. That's our situation here. Durvara Samsara Dhavagni Taptam Dodhuyamanam Duradrishtavate Bidam Prapannam Paripahi Mrityu. That I am frightened about this. So we are supposed to get frightened about this material life, material existence. Paripahi Mrityu Sharanya Manyadya Ahamna Jani. I do not know any other shelter. Only if this approach happens between a disciple and a spiritual master, there will be a proper communion or a communication between the spiritual master and the disciple. These things are important because normally we give importance to so many other things in spiritual life. But spiritual life is such a subtle thing that till one burns inside, intense feeling for escaping from this material life, first thing, and complete maturity inside, that he has come to the conclusion that he can't do anything about it. He just doesn't know what to do with it. Suffering one after the other, and material miseries are coming one after the other. Body is continuously changing, mind is continuously changing, and he knows inside that I have, this body is not mine, and body is not going to be with me forever.
So what happens after leaving this body, accepting another body again? All these thoughts are going through inside, but he doesn't know how to escape from this situation. Continuous chittavritti coming through, at the same time the miseries of material nature as well. So, Dhruvara Samsara Dhavagni Taptam. When, like in our Guruvashtakam also, that same words, Samsara Dhava Nanalidha Loga Tranaya Karunya Khanaghanatvam. So, that state in a disciple's mind is an important thing. If it is in that state, he is matured. He is matured. He is ready for the spiritual life, in other words. So why in the modern world we do not see that? Because these things are not taken seriously anymore. We go by the institution. What the institution tells us, or what everybody else is doing, we also go, let me also join the queue. This is our nature. And because of that, then we are asking the question, that why this is not happening, why spiritual life is not, because we haven't understood material life what first. Forget about spiritual life. We haven't even understood what material life means, isn't it? Material life means this, changing the body constantly, accepting birth, death, old age and disease, and not knowing how to escape from that, and all the other miseries coming from that. That's why it says here, Bidam prapannam paripahi mrityu. That I am frightened about everything in this life, plus I am frightened about the death. Krishna says in the Ekadasha Skandam like this, that Uddhava, after you have done everything in spiritual life, finally you do one thing, he says to him. What is that? Shirome malpadayo hritva bahubhyanja parasparam prapannam pahimamisha bhidam mrityu. That shirome malpadayo hritva, you put your hands around me, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, sorry, to Uddhava, and put your head on my feet. Shirome malpadaya hritva, hold on to my feet, both the feet together with the hand, and touch my feet, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, on my feet, touch your head on my feet. Bahubhyanja parasparam. Then say to me, Krishna is teaching us how to, what we should talk to him, how we should talk to him. Shirome malpade hrutva bahubhyanja parasparam prapannam prahimamisha prapannam. I surrender unto you because I don't know what to do. Bhidam mrityu bhavarnaval. That I am frightened about death. I am frightened about death. So should we frightened about death. But we are not frightened about death. That is the problem. That is why all the problem, if we are frightened about death, this problem won't be there. Because we are not frightened about death, due to ignorance, that is all it is. It's not that we are not frightened about death, but we are ignorant about the death. That is the problem. That's why it's mentions like this. You can see sometimes when you travel in various places, how people suffering, isn't it? In various ways suffering is going on. So, wherever you go, you can see, when you travel all over the places, you talk to different people, at that time, you will realize that each one of them can become a guide in your spiritual life. Looking at their miseries, what they are going through, you will realize that. So, somebody may complain about what happened to their family life, how things all got shattered. Somebody may complain about their health situation. Someone may say something different about from that. So, people feel completely lost in this world, isn't it? Sometimes you also meet some older people who are waiting for the death to come, and another person completely caught up in the various problems in this world. So, when you keep on hearing the problems from different people, you can see that what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is true. What's that? Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvam. You will realize it at that time, what Krishna says. So, what is there to get it done in this world? We all have some different understanding about it, isn't it? That there is a lot of things to be done in this world, and people are running around all over with this understanding, I have to achieve this, I have to achieve that. So, and the sad thing is, even the sannyasis who have understood all these things, or supposed to have understood all these things, they are also playing the same game in this world, running from one place to another. Some misunderstanding that sannyasam is all running around everywhere. Sannyasam is not all that. That is not sannyasam. It's some misunderstanding has come from like that. So when they are, then they also feeling that they have a lot of things to do in this world. All these things, ignorance has to go from within. It hasn't gone. That's why they are also feeling we have a lot to do, change this world. We have to make this world perfect. All this kind of ajnanam, avidya is still inside. And that is why, and I have to change this world. It is my responsibility. And first of all, he is not able to change himself. And then he is trying to change the world. So, therefore, many realized personalities have told, they tell us that you do what you have been sent here for. You are not been sent here. You elevate yourself first. You elevate yourself first or purify yourself. After saving yourself, then you can think about others. Save yourself first. So, suppose by Krishna's arrangement, if that you have been asked to go and save the rest of the world, then it is a different thing. But if you start making yourself in an awkward situation, that you yourself having come to that realization of the truth, what Krishna has spoken, and thinking about that you have to save this world, that is a very disturbing situation. Because all the great acharyas, if you look into their life, you can see that they did everything with the full understanding that they are not doing it. All of the great acharyas, if you look, they will see they came to this world and their function was such that the things were happening through them. It is in that consciousness they executed all of their activities. And because that is known as, if it happens like that, it is okay. That is niyati. Niyati means it is destiny. That it had to happen through them. Krishna's arrangement was like that. That is Krishna's desire. Otherwise, if you start thinking that, I'm going to do that, I'm going to change this world, I have to do, sort this out, everything, then whatever little shanti inside you have, that will also go. That shanti will also go. Because here, everybody is trying to do good to the others. Everybody is trying to do good to the others. If you see that deeply into it, you will notice that behind that, they are trying to make themselves to something better. There is always this stigma attached to that. Then, so somewhere there is a personal motive or selfishness could be there. You may say that it is not there, but if you look into it in a deeper level, you can see, is it basically for changing the world? Is it really a service? That question will come. If you ask that question, you won't get an answer because that is what it is. Just like some devotee, the Mahatma says that when you are cutting the jackfruit, you should apply oil to the hand. Otherwise, what will happen is it will stick everywhere. Similarly, this it is dealing with this world. It is the same way that so just like one person had a big beard and he was cutting the jackfruit. So all that sticky thing has caught on to the beard. So eventually he couldn't clear it up from the beard. So what did he shave the whole beard to get rid of it from inside. So, and then whoever he saw that whoever has shaved up with the beard, they asked him, have you eaten jackfruit? Is that why you have shaved up? He started asking like that. So similarly, you can see here, first thing before everything else is to take Krishna shelter. That surrendering to Krishna is more important. And then we have to do what has been come through to us, through our destiny, whatever has come to us. Krishna mentions this in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. If you look, you will see there, in the 35th verse, he mentions there that
Shreya Sodharmo Vigunal Paradharma Sanushtidal Sodharma Nidhanam Shreyal Paradharmo Bhayavaha.
This is an important verse. Krishna is saying, Shreyasu dharmo vigunal paradharmat sunushtidal sodharma nidhanam shreya paradharma bhayavaha. Why does it mean? It means this, that it is better to discharge one's prescribed duties
even though they may be faulty, than another's duties. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duty, for to follow another's path is dangerous. Krishna is saying it's dangerous to follow another's path. This verse is always an interesting verse, isn't it? Many times people think, what does it mean? This is what it means, that without surrendering to Krishna first, if we continuously engage in all kinds of social activities trying to rectify this world, Krishna is saying it is a dangerous thing. Because Svadharma Nidhanam Shreya Paradharma Bhayavaha. Bhagavad Gita is based on Varnashrama Dharma, isn't it? Varnam and Ashramam. Which means Svadharma Nidhanam Shreya Paradharma Bhayavaha. There is Krishna, what they call it as Svadharmam and Paradharmam. Paradharma means, according to waste of one's own vasana, one has different dharmam in one's life. So, exhausting the vasanas inside, for which Krishna has spoken about karma yoga. Without understanding that, he mentions there that what destiny has given to us, we should accept that, rather than changing our position in this world. And whatever that is, if it is kitchen work, it's kitchen work. If it is something else, that's what it is. So, if it is talking about Krishna consciousness, but it should be with the proper understanding, then that's what it is. So, from this you can see that there is nothing to be achieved in this world. That is the first thing. But through us, if anything pleases Krishna. That is, in other words, Krishna had anything to achieve through this body or the mind, then let that happen, remain as a channel for that, not as a controller of the situation. That's all it is. So, first thing to know is this Upanishad. Then Kshemam will come, and we'll have the Kshemam, and saying this, that is what he's saying here, Saisha Upanishad Brahmi Purvesham Purvajair Drada. This is how the great sages have lived in this world. They never took that attitude that they have to change this world. What they did was they surrendered to Krishna first. And from that they had realizations. And they left that realizations to the world and told everybody, if you want to follow this path, you are welcome to go through this. But what has happened over a long period of time, that people have taken this understanding that we have to change this world, we have to make this perfect, this, that and the other. So that will not work. That is why he's saying here, Saisham Upanishad Brahmi. So you can see even Shuga Brahmarshi is saying here, we will follow the previous acharyas, previous personalities. So, the more the ancient the tradition is, it's more pure. The tradition is more pure. It's not the other way. When the tradition becomes later, it's more influenced by these things. The oldest the tradition is, the purest is the message. The oldest the tradition is, the purest is the message. They stuck to the principle rigidly. As you keep on changing, time is changing, world is changing, we keep making adjustments and the message suffers due to that. That is why you can see here, even Shuga Brahmarshi, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam 5000 years ago, he is telling us that Saisham Upanishad Brahmi Purvesham Purvajair Drida. He also wants to go in the footsteps of his previous authorities. Which one? Upanishad sages. Sages from the Upanishads. We say another thing. What do we say? We got the latest one. Like, it's like a model we are developing. That Windows 5, Windows 6, Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows Explorer. Like, we think the latest one is the best. In spiritual life, the oldest one is the best. Not the latest one, always. That is the principle. Because otherwise, the message gets completely changed. Messages come. Because you can see the effect of that in the world. Can you imagine today, what a mockery sannyasam has been made. Such a pure and such a great ashram of sannyasam has completely been commercialized. Everybody is walking around, I am a sannyasi, I am a sannyasi. What kind of sannyasam is that? They are engaged in all kinds of material activities, and we are saying that, oh, I have adjusted everything to suit the time. And they will use this time, place and circumstances. That's their logic for that. That doesn't fly. That doesn't fly. Shiva Brahmarshi could have done the same thing. He said, no. Sesham, Brahmi, Upanishad Brahmi, Purvesham, Purvajayar Krita. This is how in the past who have realized the truth, they have gone in this route. I will show you that route, he says. Everything in the Bhagavatam is like that. If you look into Bhagavatam seriously, you will see there, they are all going towards backwards, not front. They are going backwards all the time to look into the truth, because as far as they are concerned, the truth has been realized long ago by the sages, the great sages, and they have given it to us and following their footsteps. That's what he says here. Shraddhaya dharayed yastam kshemam gached aginjanaha. Kshemam gached aginjana. That will bring kshemam, he says here. After this is the Bhagavata Sampradayam. Bhagavata system is like this. Going backwards, not going forwards, going backwards. And going backwards and inquiring. When we normally talk, when we, Kshemam, he says here, that will bring Kshemam. Kshemam, we have seen what Kshemam means. We spoke about Kshemam earlier, isn't it? That he mentions, Prahlada mentions this, and other great sages also have spoken about this Kshemam. So therefore, while talking about Srimad Bhagavatam and very, very deep subjects also, when Shuga Brahmarshi talks about that, he will make it very casual to make it easier for us to understand. So just like normally we say, when we talk about, oh, when I went there, two people are talking about it like this, you make it in a sort like that, in a way to present it in that way. So, one person has said like this, the other person has said it like this, spoken like this, and it will come to our mind straight away, that conversation between the two people will come to us. So, if you stay like that, and many things will become more normalized. Even while talking about ancient topics, when they present it, they will make it like a conversation. Why? Because if you old topics, old incidents or old conversations, if you bring it like an authority and give it to you, it will be difficult to accept it. So therefore what they do, you can see in the Bhagavatam, that they will make it like a conversation. Like you can see, that is why Bhagavatam came about. Vidura and Maitreya talking to each other. Krishna and Uddhava talking to each other. Shuga Brahmarshi and Parikshit talking to each other. Narada Maharshi and Yudhishthira talking to each other. Everywhere it is samvadam, isn't it? Samvadam. To make it easier for us, that there was a discussion like this, and this thing what you have spoken about, it was discussed in such and such a place between two personalities, and this is what they spoke about it. Throughout Bhagavatam is like that. Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, and Narada Vasudeva Samvadam, and Brahma Narada Samvadam, Narada Vyasa Samvadam, Shuga Parikshit Samvadam, Yudhishthira Narada Samvadam. All through Bhagavatam means samvadam, isn't it? Samvadam means mutually talking to each other in this way. So by doing that, it makes it easier for us to remember also, to realize it that, oh, such a that conversation between Vidura and Maitreya, when they talk to each other, this issue was discussed. We can easily relate with that then, isn't it? That relationship makes it a lot easier when we mention this in this way. Rather than saying that there was an authority has spoken this way. If you say somebody who lived a million years ago, he spoke something. And if somebody repeats that, you won't feel that same easiness in relating with it. So therefore, everything in the Bhagavatam is in the form of samvadam. When somebody tells you that there was a conversation, an incident, this was discussed previously, the same question what you have asked, has been discussed previously, and this is that conversation was between these two personalities. So that's what the same way Shuga Brahmarshi is also presenting to us the discussion what happened. So there mentions here. So here also Shuga Brahmarshi Sachal, he mentions here in the fourth verse you'll see Atrate Varna Yeshyami
ഗാഥാം നാരായണാന്വിതം നാരദസ്യ ച സംവാദർ ഹൃഷേർ നാരായണസ്യ ച. ദാറ്റ്സ് എ സിസ്റ്റം. അത്രതേ വർണ്ണയിഷ്യാമി ഗാഥാം നാരായണാന്വിതം നാരദസ്യ ച സംവാദം ഹൃഷേർ നാരായണസ്യ ച. നാരായണ മഹർഷി ആൻഡ് നാരദ മഹർഷി, ദാറ്റ് ദർ വാസ് എ കോൺവെർസേഷൻ ഹാപ്പൻഡ്. ഹി സേസ് ഹൃഷേർ നാരായണസ്യ ച, നാരായണ മഹർഷി ആൻഡ് നാരദ മഹർഷി, there was a conversation in the past, it happened that, and he says where did this happen, that is what he says here. Ekada narago lokan paryadan bhagaval priyaha. Sri Narada Maharshi was once traveling. Who is Sri Narada Maharshi? Paryadan bhagavat priya. He is very dear to Krishna, isn't it? Narada Maharshi is very dear to Krishna. When Sanatana Mrishim drishtvam yayo Narayana Ashramam, on his travel he arrived in Narayana Ashramam, and that's where this discussion happened. So he says here, Naranarayana Krishi's appearance is mentioned in the Bhagavatam earlier, or Sri Narada Maharshi, that is from the from Ruji Prajapati, in his wife Murti, who was a daughter of Daksha Prajapati. Through Murti, Krishna appeared as Naranarayana Krishi. This Naranarayana Krishi, two sages appeared, Narakrishi and Narayana Krishi. And in another place, it's also mentioned that Naranarayana Krishi has appeared as Krishna and Arjuna. Narayana Krishi is Krishna and Nara is Arjuna. Narakrishi is Arjuna and Narayana Krishi is Krishna. So if you ask the question, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how is that they have come as Krishna and Arjuna? That is the mystery of spiritual life. That absolute truth in different forms may appear at different times, but if you ask who is Nararishi and Narayana Rishi, they are Krishna and Arjuna. Who is the source? Krishna is the source. So, but Narayana Rishi and Nararishi has appeared long before Krishna appeared here. But it is Krishna who is Narayana Maharshi and Arjuna is Nara Maharshi. Nara Maharshi and Narayana Maharshi, two of them. They appeared with one intention, that there was a very famous personality called Sahasra Kavacham. He was a demon. It was very difficult to kill him. So therefore, what they had to do, Nara Maharshi and Narayana Maharshi, they are so much against violence. They are great sages, so much against violence. They have their ashramam in the Himalayas. So Narayana Maharshi and Nara Maharshi, what they used to do, Nara Maharshi will perform 1,000 years of penances, and then he will go and fight with Sahasra Kavacham and kill one of his sheath, armor. One armor he will get killed. He will destroy, and then he will come back, and Narayana Maharshi will go. By now 1,000 years Narayana Maharshi will perform penances, and then he will go and fight with Sahasra Kavacha. So between Nara Maharshi and Narayana Maharshi, they had to perform many thousands of years to kill this personality Sahasra Kavacha. Sahasra Kavacha was killed eventually by these two sages. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 9th canto, for the benefit of this world, they perform penances in the Himalayas for a long, long period of time. Still, they perform their penances. So, where did they perform their penances? That is what is mentioned in that 5th verse. Ekada narado lokan paryadan bhagavat priya sanatana krishim drashtum yayo narayanashrayam. Narada Maharshi traveled all over the world, eventually arrived in Narayanashramam. And to see whom? Sanatana Krishim Drashtum. Sanatana Krishim Drashtum. So here Sanatana means Narayana Rishi. Normally Sanatana means who? We have Sanaka, Sananda, Sanatana, Sanat Kumara. The four Kumaras, isn't it? There is Sanatana mentioned there. But it is not that Sanatana is referring to, it is referring to Narayana Rishi. Why it is called? Because he is also eternal. This Narayana Maharshi is eternally performing penances there. Therefore, it was mentioned that Sanatana Krishim Drashtvam, that means Narayana Maharshi was there, and he says that not as one among the four Kumaras, not as one among the four Kumaras. Narayana Rishi in that way, and in other words, that Rishi is still there. When Shukha Brahma Rishi is speaking, he is still there. So, this thing is not only in the Puranas, this concept. This concept is not only in the Purana, it's also in the Vedantam. In Vedantam also it is the same thing. Because, how, you may wonder, it's a very, you see, when we are in the concept of time and space, when we are in the concept of time and space, many things in the Puranam will be very difficult to relate with because of the time factor involved. Time factor involved. But even in Puranam, some things may be a little bit difficult to perceive through time and space because there will be so many questions will come up from the Puranam. How do we synchronize these things, or how do we get to questions can come that as far as time factor is concerned in relationship with the time. So, but it's, does it mean that it is only in the Puranam it is like that? No, it is in the Vedantam also, the same concept, because till we transcend the time, we won't understand it. It is not the fault of the Puranam, it's not the fault of Brahma Sutram. Brahma Sutram is the authority on Vedantam, isn't it? Brahma Sutram is the authority of Vedantam. In Brahma Sutram also, the same problem will come. Till we transcend time, we won't know it. We won't understand that. Because this factor called time and space is very deeply rooted inside, in our mind. We think that time is a very important thing in life. Time is used only in spiritual life to make us aware our bodily existence. Only to that extent time is taken. To make us aware that this body what you have got is subject to time. Beyond that, they won't say anything about time. That's the only thing they want to tell us through time. Otherwise, everything else is not spoken through time. Nothing is spoken through time. As far as the mortality or the lifespan is concerned, they will always point it out to us. Why? Because in this body, you got the opportunity to realize the truth. So don't waste it. Only to say that, they will talk about it. Otherwise, they are not bothered about this body or the lifespan. It doesn't matter to them, for the sages. What they want us to do is, before this body disappears, they want us to transcend the time. That's what is expected from us. But they will tell us like this, that this body, that's why in some places you will see that we are eternal, we are eternal, we keep saying, Krishna is saying to us. On the other hand, we are keep saying that life is too short, life is too short. So life is only short, only on this understanding, that as far as self-realization is concerned, you are losing the opportunity. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. Beyond that, time has no meaning to spiritual life. So therefore, you will see here that in the Brahma Sutram, there is one sutram what mentions there. It says, Yavad Arthe Adhigari Ganam. It says, that's all. It's one. There's totally 555 sutram in Vedanta Sutram or Brahma Sutram. There is 555 sutram. It begins with, the first one is Janmadhyase Yadaha. Adhado Brahma Jijnyasa is the first one. Janmadhyase Yadaha is the next one. Like that, it goes. So, one of the sutram is, Yavad Adhigari Ganam. There is a sutram. And he mentions there that realized souls or liberated souls in this world, or those great sages who are completely realized the truth, all of them, sometimes they will come to this world in order to help this world in a particular form. They will appear in this world. They will always be here. Great sages, in order to help the world, those who are, because there will always be people looking for spiritual life in this world, all time. That you can look back into the history, you can see. There will always be people in this world looking for spiritual life. So, in order to help them, liberated souls and jnanis, realized persons, or people who are completely freed from the bodily identity, they have to be present here. They have to be here, otherwise it won't happen. Otherwise it won't happen, isn't it? Suppose all spiritual life is based on the past, then it will become very difficult for people to take to it. Therefore, Vedanta Sutram is saying to us that there will always be people in this world to help, provided we have to be ready for that. When we are not ready, it won't happen. That is why spiritual life is, you can see how the great personalities, how they saw spiritual life. For them, spiritual life is not charisma and glamour. It is a deep message inside to realize the truth, a deep thirst inside to realize the truth after experiencing the miseries of this world. That means only a person who has gone inward in deeper level, he will find that person in this world to realize the truth. Everything depends on that. So, therefore, they are saying Adivahika Rupam, that is what they call it. Adivahika Rupam means they will, for example, when Parikshit wanted, Shuka Brahmarshi came there, isn't it, to get him, save him from that situation. Similarly, they are always present here, these great souls, and they will always be available when there is someone who is wanting to free himself from this material existence. So, they are present here. In there, you can't apply logic because it's beyond our logic. It cannot be applied there. Because due to some sangalpam, sangalpam means some Krishna's desire, what has happened? Their austerities and penances or their personality or their knowledge will come and stay in this material nature in some form. In some form, they will come in this material nature in some form, and they will remain in the material nature, and it will come out at a particular time when it is wanted, when it is required. That is why, but they will be here eternally. They will be here eternally. There are many things we don't notice it in our own eyes. It's not possible to, but those who are realized, they know that it exists in this world. In this world. Many temples, great temples, where great sages have installed the deities, where the great personalities have installed the deities, they have a responsibility to make sure that that temple survives through worship. Through worship. It has to carry on for a certain period of time according to their sangalpa. And even without being noticed by us, they regularly visit the deities whom they have installed. We won't be aware of that. Personality like Durvasava Maharshi and also Agastya Maharshi and Bhrigu, Vishwamitra, all of them, wherever they have installed the deities, they regularly have to come and see that the deity worship is going on there. That is the understanding from the Vedanta Sutram. Acharya Swamiji is saying to us that don't ask for logic behind it, because they are present in this world to help this world, and they will continue to be there. So so all those great sages, the passage through which they have walked, the same route we have to go. That's why it mentions there that when he wrote Viveka Chudamani, he deliberately put that in, saying that he mentions there that Ma bhaishta vidvam stavanastyapaya samsara sindhau starane stupayam yenaiva yatha yatayosya param tameva margam tava nirdashami. He says here that Ma bhaishta vidvam stava nastyapayam. Ma bhaishta vidvam tava nastyapayam. He says when the disciple went to the spiritual master, and he told about his distress inside, about the danger of material life. Danger of material life means this misery, constant misery in the material life, one after the other. All kinds of entanglement and suffering from that, and not knowing what the answer is and getting disturbed over it. That's material existence, isn't it? So, the disciple goes to the spiritual master and says to him, I have no way, I don't know how to escape from this. Please help me, crying and falls at his feet. Disciple falls at his feet. So the spiritual master is telling the disciple, Ma bhaishta vidvam stava nastyapayam samsara sindhau tarano supayam. Don't worry, he says, because Ma bhaishta sindhum sindhum tava nastyapayam. I understand the problem, he says. Samsara sindhau tarano supayam. There is a way to escape from this material life. There is a way to escape from the material life. And then what did he say? Yenaiva yata yatayo syaparam. Yenaiva yata yatayo syaparam. And that road, what they have laid out, is a big wide road and it is still open, he says. The door is never closed. Tameva margam tava nirdishami. And I will tell you that road, I will show you that road, and that is a way by which the previous sages have gone through that road, and I will show you that road, he says. This is how the spiritual master talks to the disciple. That means you can see that he is going to him with great distress. And spiritual master says to him, there is nothing to worry. Because why? On the strength of this, that he knows that the great sages who have shown us the path in the past, they have kept that open, that path for everyone in the future, those who wants to escape from here. So the first thing is to get that desire to escape from here. Secondly, able to approach a person in that state, in the for shelter from him. So so he says here, Ma bhaishta vidvam savanastyapayam samsara sindhau tarano supayaha yenaiva yadha yadayosyaparam tameva margam tava nirdishami. By which that very way by which the sages have gone beyond, I shall show that to you. Then astyupayo mahan kischal samsara bhayanashana tena tivram bhavasyam bodhi paramanandam apsyasi. Then he mentions that if you travel through that road, you will get there at the end. Eventually, you will get there. So saying this, he says, my dear child, the spiritual master is telling the disciple, my dear child, don't get frightened. Don't get frightened. There is no need to get frightened. Because you find this material existence as something which you cannot get out, isn't it? You fear, you are frightened about it, aren't you? He says. But it is an easy way to cross over this material life, he says. And I'll hold you by hand and take you there, he says to him. But I did not find the way out myself. I did not find it out. So you can see here, none of these great personalities, they will never say that they have found out the way. They have never found it out. It was already Purva Suris. In the previous life, in the previous times, the great realized souls, they have shown us the path. They have left the path for us in the form of various ways they have left it for us. In the form of great sages, Varnashrama Dharmam, temples and so many Vedic literature to guide us in that path. That's what he is talking about. So he says here, so now you can see even little things, whatever we have in this world, immediately want to patent it, isn't it? We want to make a patent out of it, so that nobody else will use it. The sages never patented what they found out, did they? This is the difference. Today, everybody wants to, whatever little they have got, they want to patent it. Somebody says, even to chant Hare Krishna, we want to patent it. One person said that at one time. He said, if we patent it, others, before they want to chant Hare Krishna, they have to take a license from us. That is this world. This is the type of people in this world today. The people want to patent everything, mine. As soon as they get something, they want to hold on to it, don't want to share with anybody. Suppose Vedavyasa Maharshi and the Rishis have taken this approach, what would have happened in this world? He is saying, Bhagavad Gita, it's mine. I patented Bhagavad Gita. You can't use it. If you want to use Bhagavad Gita, pay me my patent royalty first. And then you can study Bhagavad Gita. Not that just buy the book, but you pay me royalty for that, for what I've given you. If he's saying that, this, what is his position then? But they didn't do that. They didn't patent anything. All their realizations, they could have patented as well. But they didn't do it. So that is why interesting here, spiritual master is telling the disciple, I did not, it's not mine. So therefore, first thing, I'm not asking for anything from you, he says. I'm not asking anything from you because it's not mine. This is the way spiritual knowledge is always. It's not anybody's will. It is the great sages, out of their compassion, what they have realized, that they left it to this world for others to benefit from that. They had no other goal behind that. So therefore he says, Tameva Margam, that is why Shugabrahmarshi is saying here, even Shugabrahmarshi is saying here, I did not find out the path. Even he is saying this, I did not find it out, he says here. Because, but it was between Narada Maharshi and Narayana Maharshi, this conversation happened. And who is Narayana? That is that sixth verse, Narayana Maharshi's position, he says there. That, Yo vai Bharata Varshesmin Kshemaya Sustaye Nranam Dharmam Jnanam Shamopedam Agalpadastidastabaham. That is Narayana Maharshi. Yo vai Bharata Varshesmin Kshemaya Sustaye Nranam Dharma Jnana Shamopedam Agalpadastidastabaham. Here, there is something to understand. in our modern spiritual life all over the world now, that spiritual life, people, although great rishis and sages have given us this proper understanding of spiritual life, proper understanding about our identity, who we are, the self is, and they did not charge anything from anybody. For that, isn't it? That is their great mind, that broadness, greatness in their heart. That they could have said that, well, if others are trying to capitalize on this, then they could have put stop to that by some means, but they didn't do that. Whatever they had left behind, it stayed in this world. And the whole parampara also, the same way the knowledge remained in that way. But in the modern world, what we find is that everything wants to be very much brought under control. Control, control everybody. This tendency is not spiritual. It's not spiritual. It is material mind working behind it. It's not a spiritual understanding. And then they brought this understanding also that for engaging, for organizations and institutions, we require money. We require money. So therefore, they started taking a different approach. I'm only asking for this purpose. This attitude has come. If in that way, if spiritual life is executed, it will not have any benefit. It will not have any benefit. Because he says that kshemam, the person who is engaging in spiritual activity, the goal inside should be kshemam. Kshemam is the purpose. Yo vai Bharata Varshe Esmin. You can see that word kshemam coming again and again. Kshemam must be the goal. If goal is not kshemam, it will develop in a different way. Earlier verse also he mentioned, Shraddhaya dharayadhyastam kshemam gached akinjana, he says. In the third verse. Again he says here, in the sixth verse, Yo vai Bharata Varshesmin kshemaya swastaye indranam. From this you can see how much importance he is giving to kshemam. If you want to do kshemam, then you can't expect payment for that, for kshemam. If you are expecting payment, it will not work as kshemam. That is the way it will happen. Kshemam is not possible in that way. It is because kshemam happens, like here, Narada Maharshi and Narayana Maharshi had a conversation. And they didn't say to Shugabrahmarshi, look, if you are going to use this, what we have discussed, you pay us. Never was throughout in the history any time, they don't see anywhere any patenting or any kind of transaction in that way. In that way. That retains the purity of the message. The moment you remember, Tattvava Marshena Sahamananti. In the Jadabharata's story, we've seen that, isn't it? Akovida Kovida Vada Vadan. If you bring Vyavaharan into the message, the Tattvam, the purity will go. Vyavaharam and this you don't mix. Vyavaharam is Vyavaharam, Tattvam is Tattvam. Tattvam remains pure when you don't mix that with Vyavaharam. That is the principle. And that is exactly what here happening. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying, I will talk to you about a conversation, what happened between Narayana Maharshi and Narada Maharshi. We will follow their passage, what they have done in the past. Or prior to that, all the great sages have spoken in the Upanishads. Always spiritual knowledge has to be like that. Otherwise, people will not have any benefit from that. That is a sad truth behind it. If you mix money and if you mix other things, Vyavaharam, that you do this for me, I'll do that for you. If that business relationship comes in, then Kshemam won't come from that. That's what he's saying here. That Tat Yovai Bharata Varshesmin Kshemaya Swastaye Indranam. Shuka Brahmarshi, in third verse also he mentioned, Dhar Shraddhaya Dhare Yadhyastam Kshemam Gachet Akinchanaham. Kshemam Gachet Akinchana. So here, he says here, Gachet Akinchana. Akinchana means one who is freed from, one who is ready, fully matured. They will acquire the Kshemam. That is also there. The one who is fully matured, spiritually matured, that person will acquire Kshemam. He will get that benefit. So there he mentioned like Gachet Akinchana. Akinchanatvam is the principle behind it. Akinchanatvam means one who has finished up all connection with the world, not possessing anything here anymore, no business with this world anymore. Only that person will get that benefit. Gachet Akinchana. And here also he says here, Yovai Bharata Varsheshmin Kshemaya Swastaye Nranam. So here you have to look at something else. That in that sixth verse, what he mentions there, that there is a speciality with this world also. Particularly he mentions here that in this world there are different Varshams mentioned, isn't there? That Kimpurisha Varsham, Ilavada Varsham, Hari Varsham, like that the world, this earthly planet is also broken up into different pieces according to the way, the activities that goes on there. So, a lot of, in that way, Bharata Varsham has its own unique place in this world. Bharata Varsham has its own unique place. What's going on, you should not look in the external level, but Bharata Varsham has something special. What is that speciality mentions here? That you can see when you travel a lot in the Bhoga Bhumi, where there is a lot of sense gratification going on. If you travel in those places for a long time, you will see on a subtle level, your consciousness will be affected by that. It is a different thing. That if you associate, due to association, even without your knowledge, how strong you are doesn't matter. Due to the influence of the place where you have spent your long time, the impact of that location, place where you have spent time, it will have a subtle level impact on us. Impact on us. It doesn't matter where it is. So, therefore he mentions here, and this is understood by those who have got that sensitivity. Like you know that when, this is well known story, Vivekananda went to America and he spent many months there. After he went back, he went to Calcutta and then he went to Ganga River first. And he kept bathing in the Ganga River many, many times. And somebody or some of the others who were with him, they were asking him that you are a sannyasi and why do you feel the necessity to purify like this? So Vivekananda's reply was that I have been traveling through places where there was no other activity except sense gratification. Except sense gratification. And without any knowledge, without my own knowledge, it is possible that some of those vasanas may have entered within without my being aware of it. So I'm praying to Ganga River, Ganga Mother Ganga, to purify me. And he kept bathing in that Ganga River for a sannyasi like him, if he had to do that, imagine about others. What's our saying in that? So, you can see from this that dharma, that is why he mentions here, in that logic, if you ask, there is no answer. Logically, you can't prove all these things. You can also say that everything is Krishna, the whole earthly planet is Krishna, everything is Krishna, and that is all correct. That's all correct. But on a relative plane, from one place to another, and one individual to another, there is always difference, isn't it? One place to another, there is a difference. And one person to another, also there is a difference. On a relative plane. That's on a relative plane. Similarly, Bharatavarsham also has its own nature, which you cannot take it away from there. Although the government and the politicians and the very forward-looking modern businessmen, they are all trying to change Bharatavarsham. And they are succeeding it also to a large degree. Never in the past they felt like this, this need. None of the great sages did what they are doing today. How they are destroying that culture. The government is trying to destroy the culture. The business people are trying to destroy the culture. And practically they have trying to kill the Vedic culture every way possible. But even in spite of all that, that culture will one day has to come back, because that's the way Krishna has set it up. So therefore, it has a role to play, Bharatavarsham, and there is a dharmam behind it. There is a dharmam behind it. So, in the absolute level, if you look at it from the absolute platform, this is important. If you look at it on an absolute level, there is no India, there is no Asia, there is no China, there is no Africa, there is no Europe, there is no America. These are all we have made, isn't it? It's only one planet as we see, the earthly planet, what Krishna has, in creation it has come like this. But long period of adhyasam, due to identification with a particular part of this world, we start calling it as Europe, America, Africa, Asia, Australia, like that. Identity has come like that. So, in absolute level, they don't exist. None of them exist there, isn't it? So, absolute thing and relative thing, you should not mix together. That is important. Just like you don't mix the tattvam with vyavaharam, you cannot mix the absolute plane and the relative plane. If you mix that, that will be a problem. Relative plane is for vyavaharam. Absolute plane is for spiritual life. In spiritual life, you have to see from the absolute platform everything. So, in relative plane, for the sake of upasana. Upasana means for the sake of execution of spiritual life, we have to say that this place is better than the other place. This place is better than the other place. And sometimes you can see this. Rishis also, they cannot live in one place, but they will prefer some other place better. Like you can see, Maitreya Maharshi, he didn't stay in Vrindavan, he went to Haridwar. He wanted to stay in Haridwar. Similarly, Janaka wanted to stay in Mithila. He didn't want to go to Indraprastham. He wanted to stay in Mithila and rule from there. So different sages. Agastya Maharshi wanted to go to Sahyadri. He wanted to perform his penances there, where he met Indradyumna there. That story you know in the Bhagavatam. So they also select places where they want to be. They also select the places where they want to be. So relative plane, they have certain preferences, their choices they have. But on an absolute plane, they don't have any differences from one place to another. They know that this is earthly planet, isn't the earthly planet, whether it's America or Europe or Africa, doesn't make any difference. Because in the absolute plane, they are all the same. But on a relative plane, they make these differences. So, they have also done the same thing. They selected certain places and they've spent their time there. They didn't move from there. So, you see that difference within Bharatavarsham also. And this Narayana Maharshi, for the benefit of others, he decided that he will stay in Badrikashram. That's where he decided to stay. So, so when they select these places, they don't select it for any material reasons, isn't it? There's no material motive behind it. What is behind it is, that they feel that for their, that place may be of great help to them in their process of self-realization. That is what they gave importance to. For self-realization or for spiritual life, they consider tatrobam upavishtam rishibi kalabagrama vasibi paridam pranadopracham idameva kurudvaha. He says, tatrobavishta rishibi kalabagrama vasibi paridam pranadopracha idameva kurudvaha. He says here, kalabagrama vasi. Kalabagramam, that is the place near Badri Ashramam, where he spent, Narayana Maharshi spent his time there. And he spent his time there. Paridam pranadopracham idameva kurudvaha. Therefore, he mentions there that then Sri Narayana Maharshi, Narada Maharshi went there and paid his obeisances to him. So, what did he say there? That Narayana Maharshi is performing spiritual activities for Kshemam. For Kshemam he is performing those. So, and as we mentioned before, in the opinion of the rishis, Kshemam is only one thing. What is that? Jnanam Adhyatma Jivitam or Samskaram. In other words, what is Kshemam means? Swasti Dharma Jnana Shamopetam. Jnanam, that means knowledge, realization and the culture. All together, Dharma Jnana Shamopetam. Dharmam Jnanam Tapas Shamopetam. So, it requires knowledge, it requires knowledge with Dharmam. It requires knowledge with Shanti. Jnanam, Dharmam, Shanti. All three things are necessary in spiritual life. Knowledge is required, Dharmam is required, Shanti is required. These are requirements for self-realization. Shanti is necessary, that means freedom from Chittavritti. Dharmam is necessary because Dharmam keeps us on the track. And Jnanam is necessary to know the goal properly. So, that's what he mentions here. On the banks of this river, Alakananda River, Naranarayana Maharshi in Badri Ashram, where he lived, where he spent his time. Many great jnanis who have traveled to Badri Ashram and who had experienced their presence. They have experienced the presence of Narayana Maharshi. Tapovana Swami mentions about that. He mentions there in his Badrisha Sotram, glorifying Badrinath. He mentions there in the first verse itself that Naranarayana Maharshi, that where he executing penances there, he experienced that presence of Narayana Maharshi in that place. So, he performs penances there. It mentions in the fourth canto that Narayana Maharshi performs penances in Badri Ashram for the benefit of the world and swasti, shanti for that purpose. So, you will see here, Narada Maharshi is going to see him. Tatropa vishtakrishabhi kalabagramava sibi paridam pranado pracham idameva kurudvaham. Idameva kurudvaham. Narayana Maharshi, Narada Maharshi goes there, paid his obeisances to Narayana Maharshi and asked him for the benefit of everyone. The question was not for the sake of Narada Maharshi. It was for the benefit of others. For others' benefit and for the shanti, Narayana Maharshi asked this question. And for the benefit of everyone, Narada Maharshi asked the question. And for the benefit of everyone, Narayana Maharshi answered the question. For the benefit of everybody, Narada Maharshi asked the question. And for the benefit of everyone, Narayana Maharshi answered the question. When it is done like that, it is called Brahmavadam. Brahma Samvad, discussion about Brahmam, in other words. That happened there. Only when it happens like this, for the benefit of others, the question has been asked. For the benefit of others, it has been answered. So, therefore, Brahmavadam. So, it is because of this reason that all the sages in the Vedic tradition, they are called Brahmavadis. It is because of this reason. You don't call them as devotees. They are called Brahmavadis. Any sage, if you take Yajnavalkya, Gautama, Atri, Vasishta, Bhrigu, Parashara, Vedavyas, all of them are Brahmavadis. Why? Because one time or the other, everything what they have done is for others. There is a list of the sages, if you want to see, you will see them in the Bhagavatam at different places. For example, to mention a few, when Shukha Brahmarshi arrived, Shukha Brahmarshi is also Brahmavadi. Vedavyasa is Brahmavadi. Maitreya Maharshi is Brahmavadi. They are all Brahmavadis, they are. When Shukha Brahmarshi arrived to talk Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit, who were all present there, there is a list mentioned there, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see in the first canto. All of them are there. They are all Brahmavadis. They are all Brahmavadis. In the first canto, you can see that in the, when he arrives there, in the 19th chapter, that's when Shukha Brahmarshi arrives there. Medhadidir, verse 9. Atri, first one. Vasishta, next one. Chavana, next one. Sharadvaj, next one. Arishtanemi. Bhrigu, Angiras. Parasharam, Gadhi. Gadhi Sudhan, that is Vishwamitra. Rama, Parashuram. Uthathya, Indra Pramadhit Udmavaho. Medhadidi, Devala, Arshtishenan, Bharadvaj, Gautama, Pipalada, Maitreya, Aurvan, Kuvasha, Kumbhayoni, which is Agastya, Vedavyas, Dvaipayanan, Narada Maharshi. One list there. They were all present there. All these great personalities, they were present there. It is through them we got the Upanishads. Isn't it? It's through them that we have the Upanishads. So, you can see, Atrar Vasishtas Chavanad Dusharadwal Arishtanemir Bhrigurangirascha Parasharo Gadisuthodharama Udathe Indra Pramaned Bavaho Medhadidir Devala Arshtisheno Bharadvajo Gaudama Pipalada Maitreya Aurva Kavasha Kumbhayoni Dvaipayano Bhagavan Naradascha Anyeja Devarshi Brahmarshi Varya Rajarshi Varya Arunadayascha Nanarshaya Pravaran Sameda Abhyarcha Raja Shirasa Vavande. So when Parikshit arrived there, what did he do first thing? He paid the respects to everybody. All these great sages. Individually, he paid the respects to all of them. And he mentions there, what have I done to have this association like this? Although they were all prompted by Krishna from within, they had come to help Parikshit at the time of leaving the body. Anyeja Devarshi Brahmarshi Varyam Rajarshi Varyam Arunadayascha. Now, why they are mentioned Devarshi, Brahmarshi, Rajarshi? Three things are mentioned there. When a personality, from demigod, somebody sometimes becomes sages, they call it Devarshi. Narada Maharshi is like that. He is a Devarshi, he is. When a king becomes a rishi, he is called a Rajarshi. He is called Rajarshi. Parikshit is a Rajarshi. Yudhishthira Maharaj is a Rajarshi. And then, those who have realized the truth, Brahman realization has happened, they are all Brahmarshis. Brahmarshis. So, Brahmarshi, he says here, Anyeja Devarshi Brahmarshi Varyam Rajarshi Varyam Arunadayascha. All these Rajarshis, Brahmarshis, Devarshis, they were all present there. And he also says there that the they have all come there to see this great devotee Parikshit. See this great devotee Parikshit. So he paid his respects to all of them and he sat there. Meanwhile, Sukadeva Goswami, Shukha Brahmarshi also arrived on the scene. He joined them. So that is one instant you can see. Then if you go to third canto, you will again see in a similar way, Lord Brahma talking about it, about these sages. That so high is their position. He mentions there that a list of these great personalities he mentions in the Bhagavatam. So, if you look into the second canto, 7th chapter. Second canto, 7th chapter. There, while Brahma is talking to Narada Maharshi, he is saying that, looking back into the history, Brahma says there, that there are very few people who realizes Krishna's yoga maya. Krishna's yoga maya, how the maya operates. When we normally in the material life, we don't realize about maya, isn't it? People, we say maya, 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 we keep saying, but do we really understand what maya is? Nobody understands maya. So therefore he mentions here that if you look into the verse 44 and 45 of that 7th chapter in the second canto, he mentions there, Ikshvaku, Ailam, Mujukunda, Videham, Gadi, Regu, Ambarisha, Sagaram, Gaya, Nahusha, Mandhadav, Alarkam, Shatasanyo, Rendideva, Devavrata, Beli, Amurti, Dilipa, Saubhari, Utanga, Shibi, Devala, Pipalada, Sarasada, Uddhava, Parashara, Bhurishana, Yeni, Vibhishana, Hanuman, Ubendra Datta, Partha, Arshtishena, Vidura, Shuddhadeva. So, like the sages, he mentions a list here. Ikshvaku, verse 44, Ikshvaku Aila Mujukunda Videha Gadi, Rekhu Ambarisha Sagara, Gayana Hushadhyam, Mandradalarka Shadadhanyun Andirandi Deva, Deva Vrado, Beriramutarayo Dilipam, Saubhayudanga Shibi Devala Pipalada, Sarasado Dhava Parashara Bhurishena, Yeni Vibhishana Hanu Adubendra Datta, Parthashtishena, Vidura, Shudadeva Vajyaha, Itevai Vadan Aditarandija Deva Mayam, Stri Shudra Huna Shabara Abhi Paba Jivaha, Yadyalbudakrama Parayana Shira Shiksha Stri Yagjana Abhikimu Shudadharanaye. He says here, Brahma is saying to Narada Maharshi, you know about the power of Yoga Maya. You, Rudra, Shiva, Prahlada, Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa, their children, Prajina Barhis, Hribu, Anga, Dhruva, Ikshagu, Pururavas, Mujukunda, Janaka, Gadhi, Regu, Ambarisha, Sagara, Gaya, Nahusha. All of them, plus Mandhadav, Alarka, Shatadhanya, Anu, Rendideva, Bhishma, Mahabali, Amurtraya, Dilipa, Saubhari, Utanga, Shibi, Devala, Pipalada, Sarasvada, Uddhava, Parashara, Burishena, Vibhishana, Hanuman, Shuka, Arjuna, Arshtishena, Vidura, Shuddhadeva, all of them understand Yogamaya, he says there. So, there also, there is a number of sages listed. Brahma has mentioned this to Narada Maharshi there. Like that, you will see in various different places when Krishna went to, for the solar eclipse, when he went to Samanta Panchakam, that's the Kurukshetram, who are all present there, Vedavyasa Maharshi lists them there. All the list of all the great sages who are present there. So similarly, you can see here that generally sages are Brahmavadis. They are called Brahmavadis. Brahmavadino Vadandi. That's how mentions there. Brahmavadi. Many places it will come. Brahma Sabha, Brahma Satram happened like that. So there you can see. What was the discussion? That is what is mentioned there. Tasmai Hyavojat Bhagavan Krishinam Shrunvadam Idam Yo Brahmavada Purvesham Janaloka Nivasinam Janaloka Nivasinam. So so Sri Narayana Maharshi is saying here that a discussion happened in Janalokam, and that Narayana Maharshi is talking to Narada Maharshi, and here Shuga Brahmarshi is saying that what Narayana Maharshi told to Narada Maharshi. When Narayana Maharshi is saying to Narada Maharshi, he is saying a similar discussion, question and discussion happened in Janalokam. In Janalokam. So we have got this Bhumi, earthly planet, isn't it? Above this there are heavenly planets. And Surgalokam, that's called Surgalokam. It's a cluster of planetary systems, Surgalokam. Then beyond Surgalokam, we have got Maharlokam. Above Maharlokam is Janalokam. In the Gayatri also it comes. Bhur Bhuvasva Savidur Varenyam, isn't it? Bhulogam, Bhorlogam, Surlogam. Three planetary systems. Bhulogam, Bhorlogam, Surlogam. Three planetary systems. Then beyond that, Maharlogam. Then Janalogam. Then Tapolokam, and on top of that Satyalokam. This is the way this universe is. Now they can see us, we can't see them. That means from Maharlokam onwards, they can see everything what's happening below, lower planets. We are a lower planet compared to them. And lower than us, below us, we have Atalam, Vitalam, Sutalam, Talatalam, Rasatalam, Padalam. There is seven planetary systems below us. We can't see them, but they can see everything what's going on below in the lower planetary systems. Atalam, Vitalam, Sudalam, Talatalam, Rasatalam, Patalam. There is a lower planetary systems. And in the middle planetary system is this Bhulokam. Bhulokam. What we have done, we think this is the only world where there is life. And we broken it up into all different countries and put all the boundaries. And with full knowledge we are sitting here. That we know everything what goes on in this whole creation. And this is our present state, isn't it? But Shastram is telling us there are people living there and they know. How did they know? Because you can see Shuga Brahmarshi, he spends time a lot in the Maharlokam and Janalokam. And also many of these Brahmavadis, they spend time in Tapolokam. That's how that name came. That name Tapolokam came because they perform penances there, tapasa, due to their tapasa there. Therefore, that is called Tapolokam. And above that is closer proximity to Brahmalokam, Brahma's planet, Satyalokam. Maharlokam, Janalokam, Tapolokam, Satyalokam. So, Narayana Maharshi, when he was in Janalokam, he heard a conversation there between two great sages. And he says, I will talk about that, he says to him here. Tasmai Hyuvojad Bhagavan Krishinam Shrunvadam Idam Yo Brahmavadam Purvesham Janaloka Nivasinam Janaloka Nivasinam. So Sri Narayana Maharshi, Narayana Maharshi says to Narada that a satram happened. A satram. Satram means a big assembly where spiritual self-realization is discussed. It's called a satram. Satram means where self-realization is discussed about the soul, about the truth. That's why it's called satram. So this happened in Janalokam, and Narayana Maharshi is going to talk about that. Obviously, Narayana Maharshi must have been present there in that satram. So he is going to say to Narada Maharshi, you were not there at that time. You have gone away to Shvetadvip, where he has gone to visit there. So you are not present, but I was present there in that meeting. And in that satram, what happened? Like you can see, in Naimisharanyam also, when all the sages assembled, Sudha Goswami and Shaunagarashi and others, that was having a satram there. If you look into the first canto, it will say there that Yuyam Satraya Dikshita. If you look at the first canto, first chapter, it finishes with that. What does it say? It says here that Yuyam Satraya Dikshita. In the first canto, you'll see there that how this satram was happening there. In the first chapter or in the Uyam Satraya Dikshita, he mentions there. And it's probably in the it ends with that. Satram happens there, which is also called a Jnana Satram. That is how they address it as Jnana Satram. Satraya Dikshitam. This is the first chapter, I think. Sachana. Yadradam. There is somewhere that talks about that satram, that what they have performed. Which one? First canto?
Four. Verse 4.
Verse 4, yes. Yeah. Yuyam Satraya Dikshita. Yes. Naimishi Nimisha Kshetre Krishaya Shaunagadaya Satram Surgaya Logaya Sahasra Samamasada. They were performing that satram Sahasra Samamasada, and what has been desired by those who are living in the heavenly planets, such a satram they have, which is going to last for 1,000 years, they have executed that in Naimisharanyam. They mentions here, isn't it? Naimishi Nimisha Kshetre Rishayash Shaunagadaya Satram Surgaya Lokaya Sahasra Samamasata. Sahasra Samamasata. And there is also, that's also one place where it mentioned about that satram. There is somewhere else also he mentions about the same thing. Anyway, it is what is important here. Again, if you look at the verse 21 in the same chapter, you will see there. Kalima Agadama Ajnaya Kshetresmin Vaishnavevayam Asina Dirga Satrena Kathayam Sakshana Hare. Asina Dirga Satrena Kathayam Sakshana Hare. That Dirga Satram, it's a long period. What does Satram means? Satram means wherever there is Brahma Vijaram. That means discussion about the soul, discussion about the Brahman, or discussion about the soul. Wherever that happens, it is a satram. They call it as Jnana Satram sometimes, or otherwise simply satram. Simply satram. Sacrifice. A sacrifice is a word. In English you may say like that, but sacrifice can have different meanings, isn't it? But satram is very specific. That it is not simply a sacrifice, but it is purely for, because sacrifice, for example, if you perform Atiratram, Agnishtomam, in Karmakandam there is so many sacrifices. Agnishtomam, Vajapayam, there are also sacrifices. But there, Brahmavicharam doesn't happen. Analysis of Brahmam and realization of Brahmam, it is a very interesting thing, isn't it? You can see in the Ekadasha Skandam that between Krishna and Uddhava, how discussion happens, isn't it? Krishna and Uddhava, when they talk to each other, they are talking about the truth all the time. So that kind of discussion, particularly talking from realization, in other words, Brahmavicharam, that what is called talking from realizations. That's what was happening then. So that's why it is called Jnana Satram or Brahma Satram. The two ways it is addressed. Sometimes it's called as Jnana Satram, sometimes it's called as Brahma Satram. So it was a similar situation that was happening here. He mentions that also, that Janaloka Nivasinam. So Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Swayambhuva Brahma Satram, he calls it as Brahma Satram now. Janaloke Abhavalpuraha Tatrasthanam Manasanam Muninam Urdhuredasam. Swayambhuva Brahma Satram Janaloke Abhavalpuraha Tatrasthanam Manasanam Muninam Urdhuredasam. Sheda Deepavadam Deepagadavadim Twaidrashtam Tadishwaram Brahmavada Susamvrata Shudayo Yatrasherate. Tatraha ayamabhut prashna stvam mam yamenu prachasi. So here he says here, and that Sri Bhagavan, yo Brahmavada purvesham janaloka nivasinam. Janaloka nivasinam, those who are living in janalokam, that is where the discussion happened. And it was swayambhuva brahma satram janaloke abhavat puraha. That means addressing Swayambhuva Brahma Satram Janaloge Abhavatpura. Narada Maharshi, son of Lord Brahma, is saying to him, Janaloge Abhavatpura. That means that this people who have arrived there, Tatrasthanam Manasanam Muninam Urdhuredasam. They were all sages. Ordinary people have no entry there to that Janalogam. Ordinary people have no entry there. All of them who are there are munis, they are urdhuredas. Two things mentioned there. Tatrasthanam, manasanam, muninam, urdhuredasam, he says here. So, muninam, urdhuredasam. What does that? Manasaputra. Brahma's Narada, Brahma's Manasaputra. From Brahma's mind, four sages were born, isn't it? Who are they? Sanaga, Sananda, Sanatana and Sanat Kumara. These four Kumaras were born from the Brahma's mind. From the, when the Srishti creation started, these four Kumaras were born from Brahma's heart, Brahma's mind. They have born. Therefore, they are called Brahma's Manasaputra. And they are Munis Urdhuredasa. Urdhuredasa. We'll discuss that. So, you can see here that Krishna was, Narayana Maharshi is saying here, when they were in the Janalokam, then all conversations in the Bhagavatam is like that, isn't it? There is two people talking, and say for example here, Shukha Brahmarshi and Parikshit is talking. Then Shukha Brahmarshi is saying that between Narayana Maharshi and Narada Maharshi a discussion happened in Narayana Ashramam. The same topic was discussed, I'll mention that. There Narayana Maharshi and Narada Maharshi is talking to each other, and Narayana Maharshi is saying to Narada Maharshi, a discussion happened in the Janalokam between four Kumaras in the Brahma Sutram there when it happened. So always if you notice this, they will not manufacture anything their own. Because they know that the realization of those in the past is a lot more than the realization of us lot here. But no, we have to respect that, isn't it? That is culture. That is culture. That we lot think we know better than them. This is the problem. That is our false ego inside us. We are thinking we know better. We are more advanced. And we are making better, we do better preaching than them. They did. We are thinking that they didn't know how to preach. So, whereas we got, we are preaching all over the world, opened so many centers, and we have made so many devotees, so we must be doing much better than them. This is what we, but what we have made, that we have to, Krishna only knows what we have created by our preaching. Anyway, the important thing is that this culture is so important that they know the real stuff is there in the ancient history, not today. Today we don't have it. What they have got, they know how to value it. So that is why they will always speak in that way. It will be difficult for them to say that they knew better than Narayana Rishi. Or Narayana Rishi will find it difficult to say that he knew better than the Kumaras. See how tradition is totally opposite. Today's tradition is to blast everything in the past and accept everything. I have found out a new method of preaching and now I know the truth, how to give it. This is our attitude. But their attitude is completely opposite way. Then our mind works. Totally different, isn't it? So that you have to notice it here. That is what we have to learn from Bhagavatam, these things. From this, what happens is, it automatically develops reverence and a feeling of respect to Shastram and to the sages. If you don't have respect to them who have given it to us, all our preaching will be a waste of time. It will never bring any benefit to us, result to us. Because we are actually stealing from them what they have given to us. And we are making it our own. In order that realizations to happen to us, those who have given this, they should be always respected and honored. It is a part of the culture. That is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Sampradayam is like that. So here, he says here, talking about Shruti, how Shruti spoke to Krishna. That is what is discussed in Janalokam with the Kumaras present there. In that discussion, what came about? How Shruti, Veda, how Shruti talks about Krishna, Vedam. That is what was discussed there, in that meeting there. Which later on, Narayana Maharshi talked to Narada Maharshi. Which later, Shugha Brahmarshi spoke to Parikshit. That is how this chapter came about, in this 10th canto. So, so he mentions here, so the question you have asked me, he says, that the question you have asked me was asked then in that meeting. So, what does it say? This 11th verse you will see here. Shvedadipam gadavadi tvai drashtum tadishwaram brahmavadasu samvritta shutayo yatra sherate tatrahayam abhut prasnam stvammam yamenu prachasi. That mentions here that the when you had gone to Shvedadvip to see Aniruddha, who, when Narada Maharshi has gone to see Aniruddha in Shvedadvip, you know who Aniruddha is? In the Bhagavadam, he is Krishna's grandson, isn't it? Pradyumna's son is Aniruddha. But who is Aniruddha? Aniruddha is the, we have four forms, isn't it? Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. They are the predominating deities within us of our subtle body. Predominating deities of our subtle body. Vasudeva is the predominating deity of Chittam. Aniruddha is the predominant deity of the mind. Sangarshanam is the predominating deity of our false ego. And Pradyumna is the predominating deity of the intelligence. So, Chaturvyuham, Krishna's four expansions, quadruple expansions it's called, isn't it? Vasudeva, Sangarshana, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Those four expansions of Krishna is present within us in the subtle body. It is they who is controlling that. If Sangarshana gives you complete mercy, your false ego will go. There won't be any more false ego. If Aniruddha gives you the mercy, the mind, the problems of the mind is over. Same thing with Pradyumna and Vasudeva also. If Vasudeva gives you the mercy, all the bad vasanas inside the chittam gets cleared. If Pradyumna gives you the mercy, your spiritual intelligence will become very sharp. This is that. So miniature Krishna's creation is like this. This is Vyashti, that is Samashti. Krishna is present in every living entity, in this subtle body, isn't it? Apart from being Antaryami inside, this understanding also must be there, Chaturvyuham. It is there in the Bhagavatam, it is there in Brahma Sutram also, spoken about that. So here, he mentions here that Shweta Deepam Gadavadi Tvai Drashtum Tad Ishwaram Brahmavada Susamrutta Shutayo Yatra Sherate. You have gone to Shweta Deepam, and at that time, and those panditam that Aniruddha, when you are going to see Aniruddha, this Brahmasatram happened in where in Janalokam it has happened, and the same question was raised there, and those who were present there, they were all learned people, not only learned, were tapasvi, lot of tapas they have performed, and they had no duality in them to see anyone, he is my friend, he is my enemy. Those who are present in that satram, they were like that. And that is Tulya Shruta Tapashila Tulya Sviyari Madhyama Api Chakru Pravachanam Egam Shishrushavo Apare, he says there. Tulya Shruta Tapashilam Tapashila Tulya Sviyari Madhyama. That equality inside, that means Dvandvam is not there, Samatvam is there. Samatvam, that is that equality. Samatvam Yogamuchyade. All of them were in the yoga state, says there. So that yoga state, that is what is spoken there. So we'll have a short break then and we'll continue after that. So in that 10th verse you will see Shweta Dvimam Gadavadi Toyi Drashtum Tadishwaram Brahmavada Susamvratta Shudayo Yatra Shairate Tatrahayama Bhut Prashnas Tvam Mam Yamanu Prachasi. Brahmavadam. What is that Brahmavadam? Brahmavada means that Brahmavada means that the person who is asking the question and the person who is answering the question, they are both Brahmam realized. They are not both Brahmam realized. They are both are Brahmavadis. Person who is asking the question is also Brahman realized. Then the person who is answering the question also. That's why it's mentioned in that verse. Tulya Shruta Tapashilaha Tulya Suyai Madhyamaha. You will see there in that next verse. Tulya Shruta Tapaha Shilaha Tulya Suyari Madhyamaha. Tulya Suyari Madhyamaha. Api Chakru Pravachanam Egam Shishushavo Pare. So all of them had tapas. They had tapasya in them. Tapasvi they are. They are all very good in austerities and penances. And also they all had that equal vision. What's that equal vision? We remember in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Shobageja Pandita Samadarshina. That Samadarshitvam. They had that Samadarshitvam. Therefore, in that, among that group, one person is asking and another person is answering. That was that what happened there. That's what has happened there. So in that situation, Sanandana answered. Sanandana is one among the four brothers, isn't it? Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanatana, Sanat Kumara, the four Kumaras. Out of that, Sanandana answered there. And what Sanandana has spoken was how Vedas have spoken about glorified Krishna. Vedas glorified Krishna. Now, just like you will see there, that the Shruti, he mentions here, that Tulya Shruta Tapashila Tulya Suyari Madhyama Api Chakru Pravachanam Egam Shushrushavo Apare Sanandana Uvaja Sosrashtamidama Apiya Shayanam Sahashakti Bhi Tadandhe Bodhayan Chakru Talingai Shudaya Param. Halingai Shudaya Param. Then waking up Krishna. That's very interesting. Actually, Krishna has to wake us up. In reality, Krishna has to wake us up, isn't it? Because we are the one who are in sleepy state, not Krishna. But here it says that Just like a big emperor or king, he has got people to wake him up. They are called Bandi. Stuti Patakam, different names. You will see Prithu Maharaj's story, how he was woken up in the morning before the king wakes up. He has people who have given, so that they will sing glories to the king, and he will wake up. And hearing about the glories and auspicious things he will hear before he wakes up. So that system existed during the monarchy. In the democracy, there is no such thing. Waking up and all. Everybody has to wake up. Either you get drunk and sleep in the night. If you wake up, you wake up. If you don't wake up, you don't wake up. But in the monarchy, in the times when great personalities ruled this planet, that was a system that they were woken up by the, you will see this in the Ramayana Mahabharata also, being woken up in the morning. So, Brahmavada Susamrita Shudayo Yatra Sherate, he says, Sanandana Vacha, verse 12, Sosrishtam idam apriya shayanam sahashakti bi, tadhande bodayash chakru stallinge shudaya param. Shruti has woken up. You will see in big temples also, similarly waking up. In Tirupati, they have a system of waking up the deity in the morning. Everywhere, in every temple, properly there is a waking up process. We wake up the deity in the morning, isn't it? In the manor also, they have a waking up system, process in the morning. And certain mantras to be chanted in a very simple way, and certain offerings made, and waking up the deities. We say waking up the deities. But places like, for example, in Tirupati, because it's such an ancient temple, their waking up is quite amazing way, the way they wake up the deity here. Because their waking up has started from Valmiki Ramayanam onwards, right? So Valmiki Ramayanam, you may have heard this, the waking up verses in the Tirupati is Kausalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravartade Uttishta Narashardula Kartavyam Devamanigam Uttishta Uttishta Govinda Uttishta Garidadvaja Uttishta Kamala Akanda Trilokyam Mangalam Kuru. These are the verses beginning with. So in those verses, the waking up is like this: Kausalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravartate. The first verse. It says like that. So where did this come from? And Tirupati, how they started was from the Valmiki Ramayanam time. It is there in the Valmiki's Ramayanam, that verse. That this system is there from them days. In Valmiki's Ramayanam also, it is there. Some people may think it is not very logical, isn't it? You wake up the deity. So that means he is sleeping and we are awake. It's the other way, isn't it? So is it not that Krishna has to wake us up? But if you ask that question, that verse is in the Ramayanam. How it happened was, Vishwamitra Maharshi came to the palace, Ayodhya, to Dasharatha's palace. And he told, when he came, he told Rama and Lakshmana should come with me to the forest, isn't it? So he is taking them to the forest with him. At that time, it's a very, very impressive scene in the Ramayanam, that where Vishwamitra taking Rama and Lakshmana with him from there. Valmiki has put all his poetic power in describing that scene, where he says here that Vishwamitra, when he walked into the palace, Vishwamitra was a very powerful sage, isn't it? Very powerful he was. Why he was so powerful? Because he is a Kshatriya actually. He became a Rishi. If a Kshatriya becomes Rishi, sage, that quality of Kshatriya will still be there in him. So generally people were a little bit frightened about Vishwamitra because he is so heavy, in other words. Just like Durvasa, people are frightened because he gets angry very quickly. And if he gets angry, then you are finished. You won't be there. There will be no sign of you left after that. So Durvasa people are frightened. Similarly, Vishwamitra people are a little bit fearful because you don't mess around with him. If you mess around, you will get into trouble. Even Krishna's children got into trouble, did they not? Samba and others, they tried to mess with him. And that time it was Durvasa when Vishwamitra caused all the problems. They told them that you will have a mortar inside in your belly. And when they gone to the palace and opened, took out the clothes, everything, it fell down, that from inside the piece of metal. And that's when they got frightened, that it is a real thing, it can happen like that. So here you can see, so he mentions there, Akhyatamam mam praptam kaushigam gadhi nasutam. Gadhi's son is Vishwamitra, he is Gadhi's son. Gadhi was his father. So, the announcement is, when Vishwamitra comes, the palace has got its gatekeepers, isn't it? So he tells the gatekeeper, go and let king know, Dasharatha know, Gadhi's son has come. That's how he talks. Gadhi's son, Vishwamitra had come. Go and tell him that. As soon as they heard that, they got frightened. Who? The gatekeepers there. And they ran inside, fully in fear, and went and told Dasharatha that Vishwamitra had come. Vishwamitra had come. And at that time, Dasharatha comes out with a great respect and fell down at his feet first thing, knowing very well that he doesn't know what is going to happen now. So therefore, he is... He says to him that yadha janasya sampraptihi, he mentions here yadha janasya yadha mrudasya sampraptihi, that means with a great respect he fell down and paid respects to him and brought water in a huge pot, purna kumbham, he brought it with him to receive the sage, to receive the sage. Then but when he heard the request from Vishwamitra that what he wanted was to send Rama and Lakshmana with him, Dasharatha felt very difficult. He didn't know what to say to Vishwamitra because it was his darling son Ramachandra and Lakshmana. And to separate, to live in separation from them was very difficult for Dasharatha. Dasharatha found it very hard to be separated from Rama and Lakshmana. So when Vishwamitra said, send them with me, I'm going to the forest. Vishwamitra is in the forest far away with his ashram. And Ramchandra and Lakshmana is used to all the comforts of the palace. So Dasharatha is thinking a lot of things. If they go away, who is going to care for them? If you live with a sage, it's not going to be very comfortable, isn't it? You'll be living in the forest in some kind of thatched roof. And if you get something to eat, you are lucky. There won't be on time prasadam and all that. Nothing is guaranteed with them. So thinking, whereas he is used to all the comforts in the palace, not knowing Vishwamitra's potency, Dasharatha was hesitating to send Ramchandra and Lakshmana with them. Ramchandra and Lakshmana with them. So he refused actually to Vishwamitra. So Vishwamitra got angry. He got angry straight away and he says to him, all right, you stay in the palace happily. I'm going, he said. I'm going, you stay in the palace happily. That was Vishwamitra's words to Dasharatha. So Dasharatha felt that something is going to go wrong now. So he goes inside and talks to Vasishtha about it. He says to Vasishtha that Vasishtha interfered straight away when Vishwamitra had come. He interfered straight away into it because he says to Dasharatha, do you know this person, Vishwamitra? If you say austerities and penances, if you take it a personified form, that is this, Vishwamitra. He's known for that. For austerities and penances, nobody can beat him. Such a powerful personality he is, Vishwamitra. The whole history is in the ninth canto. You can read about how he was born in that particular way and how he became like this, the way he is. All these things. So he says to him that you send Rama and Lakshmana with him. It will only end up in a benefit to you. It will be a great mercy that will happen by sending them with him. And although Dasharatha was hesitant in the beginning, because Vasishtha advised in that way, he agreed to send Rama and Lakshmana with Vishwamitra to the forest, isn't it? And Rama and Lakshmana were decorated for the, they all get dressed up for their travel to the forest. You have to dress properly, isn't it? You can't go in your suit and your dress to the forest. You go there in that particular dress, like the sages live in the same way. That's all Valmiki explains in the Ramayana. So they were sent with Vishwamitra. Dasharatha sent them. At that time, Vishwamitra is walking out with Ram and Lakshmana, and all the Ayodhya Vasis, the people in Ayodhya, they are standing everywhere and watching it. You see, in monarchy, that is one interesting thing. Whatever happens in the royal family is always a news for all the people. Even now it is like that. Only thing is, it's in a different distorted way it is. They're all interested in the gossip in the family. But more than that, in the them days also, what has happened in the royal family matters to the people. They were very concerned about the king's security and happiness. So when Ramchandra, who is supposed to be the prince, who is known to be the king next, isn't it? So Ramchandra is going with, Lakshmana is going to Vishwamitra at that time. So people were lined up everywhere. And Vishwamitra is walking in the front, followed by Ramchandra and Lakshmana. That's how they are leaving the palace. And the people seeing Vishwamitra, they were so frightened. They won't say one word. They were quietly standing there. Only that feeling inside, Ram and Lakshmana is going, when will they come back if they go away? So quiet it was that they were frightened even to breathe. To that extent they were frightened. That is the Maharshi's, the sage's Gambhiryam. That Gambhirya, that personality of Vishwamitra was like that. So he walked through the street without looking either side. He's looking straight and he's walking out. And these two children, they are very young boys, isn't it? Ram and Lakshmana is very young boys. And they are walking behind them. And people felt that they are frightened about Vishwamitra. Even the boys are frightened about Vishwamitra. They were, the way they were walking, like without saying each other anything, not talking, and with a lot of respect, they were following him. So, without making any noise. So, Ram and Lakshmana are walking behind him. And Vishwamitra kept on walking in that way, and Valmiki mentions there how far up to the river Sarayu. Sarayu river they have to cross. Up to Sarayu river they have walked like this. It mentions there in the Yadha Amrdasya Samprapti, Yadha Varsham Anudage, Yadha Sardisha Daresyu, Putra Janma Aprajasya Vai. Pranastasya yadha labho yadha harsho mahodaye tadeva agamanam manye swagadam de mahamune. That is welcoming this great sage Vishwamitra. That, oh great sage Vishwamitra, mentions there, swagadam te mahamune, addressing there abhyartha yojana angatvam. When they got there, that they walked so well that Maharshi, the sage, when they reached the Sarayu river, he turned back and looked at these two boys, Ramchandra and Lakshmana. And Valmiki says there, the Valmiki's explanations there, he mentions there, they were looking so magnanimous in their way that if you look at Vishwamitra at that time, when he looked back, even we will get frightened. Who says, Valmiki says, that is the way he is. As soon as he got there to Sarayu river, Valmiki, more than a sage, he has become like a granddad to the children. And he called Rama and Lakshmana. First he called Rama and he says to him that up to this time, these children were frightened of Vishwamitra. But when they got there, they have become more like grandchildren of Vishwamitra. In that, with such a way, they started relating each other. So, here, he says here, they started, when they become like that, Ramchandra and Lakshmana asked Vishwamitra to tell some nice stories. They wanted to hear some stories from the forest. It is at that time, the Maharshi says that, so he mentions there, that they heard, when they started crossing the river, Sarayu Nadi, they started hearing a dhvani, a sound coming from the forest, and an unusual sound. And Ramchandra asked him, what is that sound coming from? Vishwamitra says, that is because these two rivers are joining there. You know, when two rivers join in one place, due to that, if a strange sound will come out because of the water, isn't it? So Ramchandra asked this question. So Vishwamitra says to him, here is Ganga river joining Sarayu river. That's where that noise is coming from. So Ramchandra is asking, what is this Ganga? So Vishwamitra Maharshi tells him the whole history of Ganga to Ramchandra. He's talking to Ramchandra about the history of Ganga river. And the children were hearing so many nice stories from Vishwamitra. Has a lot of stories, isn't it? Vishwamitra, because he has such a sage, gone through so many experiences, who has a personality who created another new heavenly planet, isn't it? When Trishangu when he went there to the heavenly planets, Indra said, you don't stay here, you are not allowed, you go back. Vishwamitra had sent him from here to heavenly planet. Indra rejected him from there. So Trishangu was falling and Vishwamitra found out that he is falling down from the heavenly planet. So what did he do? He created another heavenly planet for Trishangu to enjoy and to live. That's the type of person Vishwamitra is. So Trishangu, he fell and he came halfway and he stood there and his planet was still created for him to, another heavenly planet was created by Vishwamitra. So that Vishwamitra here, he mentioned here, the children slept so many things, hearing so many nice stories from Vishwamitra, the children slept. In the morning when sun was rising and in the Brahma Muhurtam hours, Ramchandra and Lakshmana is sleeping. Vishwamitra is looking at them and enjoying their beautiful scenery, how they were sleeping, young boys, isn't it, were sleeping together. Kakapakshadharam dhiram, that looking at Ramchandra's face, beautifully curled black hair falling on either side of Ramchandra, Valmiki mentions that in there. And then he says to them, Kausalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravartade Uttishta Narashardula Kartavyam Devamanyam. That is that verse coming in Valmiki Ramayanam. And that is that verse is the first verse they use for waking up the deity in Tirupati. In Tirupati also, when they wake up the deity, this is the first verse they recite in the morning. Kausalya Supraja Rama. So that is how it is. That is there in the Valmiki Ramayanam. And what it mentions is that saying to Ramchandra and Lakshmana, it is Brahma Muhurtam time. Wake up now and Sandhyavandanam has to be performed. And Kartavyam Devamanigam. Sandhyavandanam is what that is. Kausalya Supraja Rama Purva Sandhya Pravarte. Purvam Madhyandinam Abaram. Three Sandhya we have. Morning, midday and the evening. Purva Sandhya is coming, he says. Purva Sandhya Pravartade Uttishta, wake up Narashardhula, that you are the gem of the human race, addressing Ramchandra. Kartavyam Devamanigam, you have this duty to perform Sandhyavandanam. Sandhyavandanam has to be performed. So wake up, he says. So keeping that verse, this Suprabhadam for Tirupati they have written. Everybody knows about this verse. So so from Vishwamitra's face that verse has come first time. And that is how it has come in the Ramayanam. And in Ramayanam, and that Rama whom Vishwamitra is addressing there, there are many Suprabhadam has come after that. But here Vedam is talking about a Suprabhadam. Vedam is talking about the Suprabhadam. So whom Vedam is singing the Suprabhadam, that is the Suprabhadam in the Shruti Gita. Shruti Gita is that Suprabhadam. That is why if you look into the verse 12, you will see there, Shrutaya Ujum, Sanandana Vaja, Susrishtamidama Piya, Shayanam Sahashakti Bhi, Tadandhe Bhodayam Chakru, Tallingai Shrutaya Param, Yadha Shayanam Samrajam, Vandinastad Parakramaihi, Pratyushe Abhyetya Sushlogair, Bhodayam Anujivinaha. So, Susrishtamidama Piya, Shayanam Sahashakti Bhi, Tadande Bhodayan Chakru Tallinge Shudaya Param. So important here that Vedam, or Vedam means Shruti. Shruti means Vedam, isn't it? This is called Shruti Gita. Means Veda Gita, Veda Studi. So many different ways this is addressed. So Vedam is addressing somebody. Shruti is saying to Krishna how creation happened. How creation happened. Everything Krishna has created, how that all creation, one day it goes back to Krishna, isn't it? It comes out, it stays for some time, goes back to Krishna, gets dissolved, isn't it, in Krishna. So, where is it coming from? And where is it staying? And where is it getting dissolved? It's all happening in Krishna. In Krishna it is happening, all these things, isn't it? It comes out from Krishna, it stays in Krishna, it goes back to Krishna. It goes back to Krishna. That is why Shrutis are saying that whatever he has created, Krishna sleeps when at the end of pralayam, is a devastation happens. We have four pralayam discussed in the Bhagavatam. Nityam, Naimityam, Atyantiyam, Prakritam. Four kinds of pralayam that is spoken. If you look into the 12th canto, so after one of those pralayam, Krishna goes to sleep. All these are difficult for us to understand in our present present state, because if you look into the 12th canto, it talks about pralayam. Where does it say? It says there that before the Markandeya story, I think it is in the Nityam, Naimityam, Prakritam, Atyantiyam, four kinds of pralayam is discussed. Yeah. Yeah, if you look into 7th chapter, in the 7th chapter of the 12th canto, if you look into the 17th verse, it says, Naimitika Prakritika Nityo Atyantiyo Leha Samstedhi Kavibhi Prokta Chaturdhasya Sobhavata. 17th verse. It says here that from Maya, from power of Maya, creation has come, isn't it? Maya is behind it, Prakriti. Prakriti is behind it. And due to the power of that Shakti, of Maya Shakti, this is called Karya Prapancham. Karya Prapancham means Karanam Karyam. Karanam is Krishna, cause behind everything, cause of all causes. Sarva Karana Karanam, Krishna. Krishna is a Karanam and Prakriti is Karyam. Prakriti is Karyam, Prapancham, creation is Karyam, cause and effect. Cause is Krishna, effect is creation. In that creation, due to the power of Maya, these four kinds of dissolution happens. Which one? Naimityam, Prakritam, Nityam, Atyantiyam. Four kinds of dissolution happens. Now, we should not misunderstand this, thinking that, oh, lot of water will come, whole place will be flooded, and that will stay within the water like that. In Puranam, that is one way of saying like that, to make it easier for us to this. Otherwise, if only in the subtle way it is spoken, we won't understand it. Therefore, it's spoken. So that is why it mentions there that in the 18th verse you will see, Hetur jivosya surgadir avidya karmakaraga yamcha anushayinam prahu avyagrita mutapare. Because creation has happened, due to the ignorance in the living entity, he becomes, everything is Krishna at the end. But when creation has happened, due to creation, due to ignorance there, Krishna becomes a jiva. How? Because he takes up this ownership of I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Krishna transforms into jiva. It's all coming from Krishna. Krishna is the only thing that exists. Everything else has no reality existence. But when creation happens, in this creation, Krishna has become like a jiva. And what does jiva means? Kartrutvam bhoktrutvam. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That's what it's saying here. That Hetur Jivosya, he is the cause of jiva. Jiva is also him. Sargade avidya karmakaraka. Sargam, creation happens, at that time he becomes a jiva, and due to avidya, he becomes karma, avidya, karmakaraka. I am the doer comes there. Yam chanishainam prahu avyagrita mutapare. The same jiva, he is addressed as anushayi, and some other people he calls it as avyagritam. That is another words used in the Shastram. Then it says, Vidirekam anyvayoyasya jagral sutna sushuptishu mayamayeshu tal brahmam jivavritti shubhashrayam. Then when he has become jiva, what happens to him? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti comes. Vacant state, dream state and deep sleep state, three states comes to him. And in all these three things, he is still there as Vishwan Taijasam Prajnam. That is his identity there. And only in the Samadhi state, if he reaches that Samadhi state, there again he is present there, but at that time in the where he is negated, Nishedham. That is what Maya Vidirega Anvaya Yasya Jagral Sutna Sushuptishu Maya Mayeshu Tal Brahmam Jiva Vritti Shvapashraya. At that time Jiva Vritti goes away from him and he comes as to his Brahma Vritti. He becomes Brahma. Where? In the Samadhi state. Isn't it? In the Samadhi state. So these four the kinds of dissolution that is mentioned there, that means Prakritam, Naimittikam, Prakritam, Nityam, Atyantikam. Four kinds of dissolution is spoken there. Now coming back to this, it is mentioned in here that Atyantikam, out of that four, Atyantikam is when Krishna withdraws everything in. In other words, all living entities, when they are not anymore in a gross body living in this world, completely left all the identity with the body, which means in spiritual identity, everyone joins the Supreme Consciousness. Individual consciousness joins the Supreme Consciousness, which is Krishna. Address the Supreme Consciousness is Krishna. So when he goes back to him, what happens is, it's Atyantika Layam. Atyantikam, final dissolution. Atyantika Layam. Then they will not come back once they have gone there. Then Krishna has to start creation again. We don't know how many billions and billions of years later when, if creation happens. So Atyantikam, when Atyantika Layam happens, Krishna goes to sleep. That's what that time is called, Krishna's sleep. It's not he is physically sleeping. That's not what it meant. What it meant is, when living entity gets all liberated from material existence and they have gone back to Krishna, in other words, no more coming back here accepting another material body, and when they go back to Krishna, at that time Krishna's situation is that he is in a state of sleep. That sleep is referred to as that state where living entities do not come out from him. So Krishna keeps all of us within at that time. We join him in that way. So at that time, then if Krishna has to begin creation again, he has to be glorified by the Veda. When Vedas glorifies Krishna, he begins creation again. He begins creation again. So it is in that state this waking up happens. Normally we'll think, why Krishna is sleeping? Why Krishna has to sleep? And why somebody has to waking up? This is it is spoken in a way that so that we can understand that after Naimittika Pralayam, Nityam Naimittikam Prakritam Atyantikam, there is every night there is dissolution happening in us, isn't it? In every night, what happens? When we go to Sushupti state, what happens? We leave the body, we leave the mind, everything. We get dissolved, everything gets dissolved, we gone. Then we come back next day morning and again starts the whole thing. So that is the Naimittika Pralayam. That it only happens in a momentarily pralayam, temporary pralayam that is. It's also a devastation, but happens for a short period of time. So Nityam Naimittikam Prakritam Atyantikam, four kinds of dissolution spoken there. When Brahma's life finishes, there is one pralayam. When Brahma's life is over. Brahma also one day has to go. At that time, when pralayam happens, a dissolution happens, that is what is called Nitya Pralayam. So Nitya Pralayam, Naimittika Pralayam, Prakrita Pralayam, Atyantika Pralayam, four kinds of dissolution is spoken in the Bhagavatam. And Krishna's sleeping is after that Atyantika Pralayam, that is when that is happening. So here, mentions here, that Shruti Vedam, when it starts waking up, that whatever Krishna has created, they all go back to Krishna at that time. And So they are in relation, in connection with Krishna at that time, all the living entities. So they have to address Krishna in a particular way so that he will wake up from that state. That means he will come out from that state what he is in. So indicating all that thing, it is addressing so many. Say for example, many people are sleeping in this room and everybody had different names here. All of us have different names, we are all sleeping here, isn't it? Now somebody comes through the window and says to someone who among us who is sleeping, everybody is sleeping, calls one of our names and ask us to wake up. So then what will happen? Only that particular person who has called, he will wake up. Others will say, oh, I has not been called, so let me sleep. They will sleep again, isn't it? Only that person whose name you have called will wake up from there. Others, remaining people, they will all continue to sleep. They may wake up, but then they will go back to sleep again, isn't it? So, so therefore, that is why it's mentioned here, Tallingehi. So here, Srishti has to begin, and all living entities to wake up, and they have gone back to Krishna. And here he mentions here, Tallingehi. You will see that word mentioned there, that Sosrishtamidamapiya Shayanam Sahashakti Bhi Tadhande Bodhayam Chakru Tallinge Shudaya Param. That Tallinge. In other words, mentioned here, all Krishna's potencies, energies, Krishna has withdrawn and has dissolved them within himself. Within himself. So, in order that all these potencies has to come out from Krishna, you have to address Krishna in a particular way. And for that purpose, Vedas have sung this song called Shruti Gita. Shruti Gita was sung by Vedam for that purpose, in order that from that dissolved state in Krishna, where all the Krishna's different energies have gone, including Maya. Maya is also Krishna's energy, isn't it? One energy is Maya. Krishna has various potencies, and all that potencies has to come out from there. And at the end of Krishna is in that, what that state is called Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra means then the pure consciousness in its pure state, not engaged in any activity, staying pure. In that, from that pure consciousness, everything has to come out. So they have glorified there. So you can see here, Tallingai, it says here, Tallingai, Tallingai Shutaya Param, it mentions here. So Tallingai means, by what name if you call him so that he will wake up? Which lingam you should address him so that he will wake up? That means, you can see, all of us are dreaming about liberation, isn't it? We all like liberation. We like to know, how will that be? When will it happen? Sometimes that stray thought comes through us and it goes, because we don't know anything what else to do. So, but we all think about it at some time. At some time we will think about it. So that's why he mentions the Tallinge. So in other words, all of us are dreaming about liberation within us. All of us are dreaming about liberation within us. And we also think about the ultimate goal sometimes. What will it be after death? Where will that be? How will that be? What will happen? This dream will never go from inside. It's not possible to, no matter how hard the materialist we are, sometime these thoughts will come. What will happen after we leave this world? Some stray thought may develop inside. So that parampadam, tad Vishnu paramam padam, that destination, because we do not know, and it is according to one's own imagination, we will in different way, we will imagine that. What happens after death? Different way we will imagine that. Somebody will imagine in some way, like in this world also, you know, some people are imagining heaven Father is there, we go there and we live. What a life here will be there. Everybody will get there. And some others think that there's a lot to enjoy there. He is full of sense gratification there. Some people think like that. And some people think in a different way. They go to different planetary systems according to their relationship with the form. So like this, we all have, that's all in the imagination only at the moment, isn't it? We don't know anything more than that. It's there in the books, people have spoken about it. But as far as we are concerned, it is still in our imagination. Nothing more than that. It is not gone beyond than that. We can't do anything about it. So that is why, according to one's own imagination, they will live like that and they'll say that, if I get this, I'll be satisfied. I feel like that. If you get that state, you'll be satisfied. So, some satisfaction you want inside, therefore you are dreaming. Why we are dreaming about it? Because we are looking for some satisfaction inside. So, one thing we have learned from this world, that everything outside if you depend on, ultimately it will bring distress. That experience we have got from this world. That you depend on anything in this world, it will bring distress at the end. And on an absolute platform, and there is another truth beyond than what is in this world. Nobody with good sense or good intelligence will take shelter of anything in this world, isn't it? Because we know, you take shelter of anything in this world, eventually it is ultimately distress. Either we have to leave them or they have to leave us. So such a shelter is useless. A shelter which is not permanent, what's the point in taking shelter of that? So that is why that inside we get this understanding, there must be a truth where you can permanently take shelter than this world. That understanding, for a thoughtful person, it will come. And that it will be decided inside but with the help of Antaryami. Antaryami means the super soul inside. He will help us to keep that understanding inside us. That's how we live in this world, all of us. We are living in this world in that state, isn't it? So, that understanding inside, that there is a somewhere shelter, where there is a permanent shelter, where you don't have to continuously change again or lose that shelter. Because seeing the nature of this world, we know very well that there's nothing worthwhile taking shelter here. Either the people whom you have taken shelter, they may leave you or you have to leave them. So there is no question of taking shelter. It's only a temporary contract, temporary arrangement, what goes on in this world, isn't it? So, but that unknown decision what we have made inside, and that it is always in relationship with the truth. That is in relationship with the truth, because we know that there is a truth somewhere, in some form or some place, somewhere where there is a shelter possible. So what is happening here is, we are in the imagination that is remaining within us at the moment, of that particular form or particular name or particular place. It is in our imagination, like Golokam, Krishna, or the life in Golokam, as far as Krishna's devotees are concerned. Narayana's devotees are concerned, Vaikuntham, Lakshmi Devi, and Adishesha, and all the life in Vaikuntham. Ramchandra's devotees are concerned, the planet Ayodhya, and the Ramchandra there. And also you can see Hanuman glorifying Ramchandra and Sita Devi. All that is in that imagination of a Ramchandra's devotee, isn't it? So, but all this is in the imagination of the person. Whether it is Golokam, whether it is Ayodhya, whether it is Vaikuntham, or if it is Kailasam, Shiva's devotee will be imagining about Kailasam. It's all in the imagination only at the moment. Because we feel that once you get there, there is a permanent solution to the problem here in this world. In this world, we all have come to know now, nothing you can do about it. We are stuck here in this situation. There is no shelter here. You take shelter anything here, eventually it will all going to break. It's not going to happen. Either one who is taking the shelter has to go, or one whose shelter you are taking, he has to go, or she has to go, whoever it is. So it is only a temporary arrangement. So that situation we are talking about. What the Guru or the Vedam does is, in his own awareness, the field of awareness, without his knowledge, at the same time, without his knowledge, at the same time, that whatever that has to be spoken to help him to release himself from this temporary state and able to take shelter of that permanent state there. That is what it's mentioned here. Whatever, what vyahara means that has to be spoken in such a way so that he, that face will wake up inside. That thing will wake up inside. And that is Shuddha Gita. We are always thinking Shuddha Gita is happening somewhere else in some world, isn't it? Vedas come and glorify. What actually it means is that in us, all of us, having understood the temporary nature of this material world, having realized that this is not a permanent place for residence, in our imagination, with the help of Shastram and the spiritual master, we have come to understand there is somewhere else a shelter possible. We all want shelter at the end, isn't it? Because we know there is no happiness without being the shelter, under the shelter of the absolute truth. That everybody knows. We can't be independent that way. There is no independence, has no meaning in these things. Today what we know is material body is giving trouble. Birth, death, old age and disease is there. What is going on here in this world is just a patch-up work to find some temporary settlement here. Just like we are temporarily settled here. But this is not a permanent thing. Anyone with a little bit thoughtful nature knows that very well, and he would not worry about it a lot. So, but at the same time, if he is in spiritual life, if that person is in, one who is completely absorbed in sense gratification, he is not disturbed about anything. That's what Narada Maharshi says in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? That those who are two kinds of people, he says, they have no problem. Pigs and Paramahamsas. Pigs no problem because they are happy with what they've got here. They don't think about anything else. Paramahamsas also no problem because they're out of it anyway. It is in between. Majority is in between. Majority of the people in this world is in between, isn't it? So for those who are knowing the temporary nature and who wants to find a permanent shelter somewhere, and in their bodhamandalam, inside, in their awareness, they know that there is a place somewhere, but they haven't got there yet. Shruti is telling us, what Shruti does to us is that whatever that has to be spoken to us, by doing which, that avyahrda shabdam. Avyahrda means what is going on inside in our imagination and not fully under our control, but it is happening inside. That how that will become a reality for us. That will become a reality for us. So Guru or Vedam, when it starts bringing out that sound from inside, identifying with that, and then he will wake up. He will wake up from that. So when a guru is talking to the disciple, this is what happens. That he, by that sound, in his bodhamandalam, bodhamandalam means in the face of his awareness, the face of awareness, we are in different mandalam, isn't it? You know what mandalam means? Mandalam means different phases of existence. Sometimes we are in the mandalam of the body, that means the bodily level, bodily phase. Sometimes we are in the face of the mind, manomandalam it is called. When you become completely affected by the mind, we say you are in the manomandalam, or we say that we say, devotees say, you are on the mental platform, Prabhu. We say like that, is it not? Mental platform. That is manomandalam. Then sometimes we say you are completely in the bodily concept of life. That means you are in the sharira mandalam, bodily level. Sometimes you are in the bodily level, sometimes you are in the mental manomandalam. And then like these people, big scientists and all others, they are also in another mandalam. Normally you can say roughly that they are in the platform of intelligence, intellectual, buddhi mandalam, mandalam of the buddhi, using the buddhi too much to use that. So we all exist in this world in different mandalam at different times. Everybody is not in one mandalam all the time. They keep shifting from one mandalam to another. So that's called face, the face of existence. So here you can see that when the spiritual master is not going to the bodily mandalam, manomandalam, intellectual mandalam, he goes into that bodha mandalam, which is the mandalam or face of awareness. That's where he makes the contact. He never makes the contact with the bodily level, mental platform, intellectual platform, directly to the spiritual platform. Directly to the spiritual platform. And that spiritual platform is what is called bodha mandalam. Bodha mandalam, that is the face of awareness. So when that is, that will receive the sound about the absolute truth directly, and he will wake up. All the vakyam, all the, like aham brahmasmi, tatvamasi, prajnanam brahma, I am atman brahma, everybody understands the meaning of word, isn't it? But why it is not going to the bodha mandalam in us? When it is spoken by the right person, and when you are completely matured, then the same words will have its effect on us. Words are same, they haven't changed. Tattvamasi, yesterday we saw, prajnanam brahmam. First thing is consciousness is brahmam. Where will you search? Aham brahmasmi. That's where you find him. So these subtle messages, subtle in the sense, not on the in its manifested form, that is this aham brahmasmi, prajnanam brahma, I am atman brahma, not that, that is their literal words that expresses that, but the message that it brings, it has to go into the subtle body inside and hit that bodha mandalam or face of awareness. That will happen when the disciple is fully matured, completely ready for it, and the spiritual master is realized. If he is realized and he is ready for it, it will happen. That is what the Upanishads are saying. It must happen. And it has to happen. That is how Krishna mentions that. You remember in the 10th chapter of the 11th canto, when we discussed this, Krishna put forward certain conditions there. He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, in order that all these things has to happen, he mentions the 10th chapter, if you look, that is why the 10th chapter is an important chapter in the Bhagavadam, because tattvam is spoken there, the tattvam. He says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, 10th chapter, 11th canto. Mayodi deshavahida swadharmeshu madashraya varnashrama kulacharam akaralpa samacharel anvikshade vishuddhalpa dehinam shayalpanam guneshu tattvadhyanena sarvarambha viparyayam suptasya vishayaloko dhyayado vamanoratha nanalpagatvadhibhala tatha bhedhalpadhir guneihi Nivrtam karma seveda pravrtam malparastyajel jityasayam sampravrto nadriyet karma chodanam yamana bhishnam seveda niyaman malparekvajil mabhityam gurum shandam upasidam madal magam. That's all about the spiritual master. Then about the disciple. Aman yamalsaro daksho nirmamo drida sauhrida asatvaro artha jityasu anasuyu amokhavak. All these qualities are, must be there in the disciple. And those, and the qualities of the guru. Yamana bhishnam sevede niyaman malparakvachal madabhityam gurum shandam upasidam adalmagam. So the fifth verse that he mentions there, that madabhityam gurum shandam upasidam adalmagam, that he should serve that spiritual master who is totally in shandi and at the same time who is completely realized and knowing very well that he is me, Krishna says. That means that's the way that relationship is. See how sublime that relationship is. To see the spiritual master as Krishna himself, to that respect is expected from that, from the relationship. Upasinam adalmagam, he mentions there, isn't it? And then Amanyamals, then he says, Jayabhatya Griha Kshetram Sojanadravina Adishu Udasina Samam Pashyan Sarveshwartham Ivalmana. So, Vilakshanastu Vilasu Ushmal Dehal Almechida Sodrak Edhagnir Daryuno Dahyo Dahagonya Prakashaka നിരോധോൽപത്യ അണു ബൃഹന്ന അനാൽപം തൽ കൃതാൻ ഗുണാൻ അന്തപ്രവിഷ്ടമാധത്ത ഏവം ദേഹഗുണാൻ പരാം യോസോ ഗുണൈർവിരചിതോ ദേഹോയം പുരുഷസ്യ ഹി സംസാരസ്ഥ നിബന്ധോയം പുംസോ വിദ്യ ചിദാത്മന തസ്മാൽ ജിജ്ഞാസയാത്മാനം ആത്മസ്ത്വം കേവലം പരം സംഗമ്യ നിരസേദേവ തത് വസ്തുബുദ്ധിം യഥാക്രമം ആചാര്യോരണിരാദ്യസ്യാൽ അന്തേവാസുത്തരാരണി തൽ സന്ധാനം പ്രവചനം വിദ്യാസന്ധി സുഖാവഹ വൈശാരദീസാദിവിശുദ്ധബുദ്ധി ധുനോദിമായം ഗുണസംപ്രസൂതം ഗുണാംശ്ച സന്ദഹ്യയതാത്മരേതി സ്വായം ജശാമ്യാത് അസമിദ്യഥാഗ്നി അതേഷാം കർമ്മകർത്തൃണാം ഭോക്തൃണാം സുഖദുഃഖയോ നാനാത്വമത നിത്യത്വം ലോകകാലാഗമാത്മനം മന്യസേ സർവഭാവാനാം സംസ്ഥാ ഔപ്പത്തികി യഥാ തദത്ത ആകൃതിഭേദേന ജായതേ വിദ്യതേ ച ധീ. ഓൾ ദോസ് വേഴ്സസ് ഇൻ ദിസ് ടെൻത് കാൻഡോ ഈസ് ദി തത്വം ഇസ് ദി തത്വം ഇസ് ദ മോസ്റ്റ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് തത്വം ഇൻ ഭാഗവതം ദാറ്റ് സേയിങ് ടു അസ് ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി പ്രോസസ് ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ പ്രോസസ് Krishna is saying there in those verses. And that is why you find here also that so in that, if it happens in that way, he will wake up inside. Who? Antaryami will wake us up from inside. There won't be any more me and you and he. All these things will go from inside. Me, who, you and all, me, he, you and all that is ajnanam state, avidya state it is. In ignorance, we call all these things. Everything is ignorance here. In this world, everything, all our transactions. For vyavaharam, we need me, you, he, she, all these things we need. But it is important to know that in the realized state, those things don't exist. Those things don't exist for the person inside. So, so because it is like that in the you will, this is there in the Shaiva Sampradayam and Vaishnava Sampradayam both, it is the same thing, it's not changed at all. They're common to all Sampradayams. And in, for example, in the Appar says about this in his Tevaram, he mentions this. He says here he is going also step by step towards Krishna, towards Shiva. He mentions like this, just like a girl who has a lover who loves a boy and hearing his name, how she keeps getting closer to him and hearing about his qualities, about his form, and in that way he gets attached to him. Just like you remember in the Bhagavatam when Rukmini Devi wrote that letter, Rukmini Devi says, I've heard about Krishna, about you. That's a message to Rukmini, sends to Krishna, isn't it? Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrunadam te. I've heard about your qualities from Narada Maharshi, your transcendental qualities, Bhuvana Sundara, and you about your beauty, I have heard about from Krishna. And similarly, in the same way, first heard the name of the person, and later on, after you heard about someone first, and then you heard about his qualities, heard about his beauty, other opulences in him, and everything, and you get closer and closer to that person, step by step. And that is why Appar mentions there, Bhagavad Prapti, going back to Shiva also, he mentions in the same way. So, first thing what you have heard is Avyahridam. Avyahridam means, that means, I heard from someone that name, which is hiding behind everything. Behind that everything is hiding. You hear the name first about some person and his name, and then other things are hiding that is not revealed yet. So, similarly, similarly, when you are cultivating spiritual life also, in spiritual life also, in our Bodha Mandalam, in everyone, all of us, that in our imagination, we heard about Krishna, we heard about Bhagavadam, we heard Bhagavad Gita, and naturally in all of us, those who are hearing Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam regularly, within their Bodha Mandalam, a life develops there, an imagination develops. At the moment it is an imagination because it's not 100% in the experience level. But a Bodha Mandalam awareness, it is there that there is something after death, Krishna has spoken like this, and so many other information related to life after death develops inside a person. Is it not? So that is what it mentioned here. So Avyahridam it is, it mentions here. So you start thinking about a spiritual master, you thinking about a particular mantra you would like to chant, and what should I do? What should I do in my life so that he will wake up inside? This is the purpose behind, to wake up that spiritual potency inside. See, so a dream like that will be there within all of us. So, in order to do that, the jiva inside, he needs the help from the spiritual master or from Vedam, or support from some source is necessary for jiva to wake up. After he has woken up, jiva has woken up, then he will ask all sorts of questions. What's happening now? What's happening now? So this is how you can see many people who worship the deities, different places, famous personalities who worship the deities. So they have developed that relationship with the deity, or developed a particular relationship with the temple. Any big temple, if you look, you will find there will be some famous names attached to that temple. Some great devotees who have spent their time in that temple, and they had a relationship with the deity there. That is the history behind it. If it is not a temple, in some great holy places also you will see, for example, like in Vrindavanam, you see that Goswamis, they had a relationship with Krishna with the deity form as earlier. And because Upasana Murti, that form they were worshipping, and the name or the temple, that eventually become a cause of their liberation. So, all these things in their sankalpam, it is there. That they have already in their imagination, in sankalpam, those things are there in that particular person. For example, Rupa Goswami's imagination is always Krishna in the form of Govindaji, isn't it? Adha Govinda Mandir, Adha Govinda Temple. So Rupa Goswami's connection with Krishna is as Govinda. Sanadana Goswami's connection is as the which is that? Sanadana Goswami's temple. No, Radharaman is our Madan Mohan, yes. Madan Mohan form. So this is all coming from Sanadana Goswami, it is coming. Because that is the form which was in the inside Sanadana Goswami. That form of Madan Mohan was inside him. And from that name, Madan Mohan came, that form, and all other pastimes of Madan Mohan, everything came out from that connection with Sanadana Goswami. Just like Rupa Goswami had with Govindaji. So you can see here, everybody has that. It's not that only Goswamis have. Everybody has, who has taken to spiritual life, will have that Bodha Mandalam inside. A phase of awareness and Bodham, where this all happens. All this happens in that way. It's not on the mental platform. It's not on the intellectual platform or sensual platform. It's completely on that Mandalam or fair awareness, phase of awareness, in other words. So, that it is like that temples have come, deities have come, and their name and form, all these things have manifested. And similarly, they will become their support, source of support, in other words, that particular form. Like for example, Radha Govindaji for Rupa Goswami, or Radha Raman Mandir for Gopalabhatta Goswami. So in this way, Radha Damodar for Jiva Goswami. In this way, every devotee all throughout the country, you will find this, that they had a particular imagination of Krishna in a particular form inside, and that become later on the temple and the deity. Initially it starts inside. Not that they brought a deity from Jaipur and he decided one day I'll call him Radha Madan Mohan. It didn't happen like that. Prior to the temple was built, deity was installed, the concept, it's already born inside in his Bodha Mandalam. Do you understand what I'm saying? It didn't happen. Nowadays what do? We build the temple, we build the deities, and then we ask everybody, what should we call him? Because we don't know anything else. But temples didn't happen that way. before Radha Madan Mohan was built, inside Sanatana Goswami, he must have had a connection in his phase of awareness with Madan Mohan. Later on, deity came, temple came, and he was named as Madan Mohan because of the inside connection. Connection was inside first. Later on, Madan Mohan name was given and everybody else started calling it is Radha Madan Mohan. We think that Sanatana Goswami was also like us, brought some couple of deities from Radharani and from Udaipur, Jaipur, and installed them and started worshipping them like us. No, it didn't happen like that. This is the difference I'm saying between the realized souls and ordinary people. Ordinary people, they have no choice because they don't know in their Bodhamandalam, but they also have a Bodhamandalam. Everybody has it. Some understanding of self-realization, some understanding of spiritual life, some understanding what will happen after death. This is all working inside. In a very subtle level, it's operating there. So that is exactly Vedam is doing here. What Vedam does is here, that holding on to that, whatever what we have, one has inside, that Satyam, which doesn't require any support. We all require support. That's why we are depending on different forms of Krishna. Isn't it? All of us require Krishna's support. So people relate with Krishna in different forms. But Krishna doesn't require any support. That's the difference. Krishna doesn't require any support. So because through that process, we get to know that Satyam Alambam, or dependency on the truth, happens. And so he becomes the cause of our spiritual life. He becomes our whole spiritual life, gets centered around that, which doesn't require any support. We require the support, he doesn't require the support. So here you can see Vedam is also doing the same thing. That is what those two words, Tallingai, it says here, Tallingaihi Shrutaya Param. That's what it is indicating, that Tallingaihi Shrutaya Param. It indicates to us that Shruti knows, Shruti, Vedam knows, by indicating which form or which sound towards a jiva, so that the jiva will wake up. In order that the jiva to wake up, a certain sound has to go, and it will be different for different people. That is why you will see in the Bhagavatam, one devotee was chanting the name Narayana. Ajamila needed the name Narayana to wake up. And Dhruva Maharaj chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Different mantram has come in this way. Now, who knows what mantram will wake up the jiva from within? Only the spiritual master knows that. That what sound has to go inside into his Bodhamandalam, so that jiva who is sleeping there, he will wake up. And that's exactly what Shruti is doing here. Shruti is trying to wake up, that the addressing here, Shruti mentions here that Shruti knows whatever lingam, Tallingai Shudaya Param, it says there, isn't it? Tallingai Shudaya Param. This Shruti Gita is a very complicated chapter. Reason is this, that it is so closely connected with the soul and self-realization process. That's why everything back and forth, we have to keep looking at it. Tallingai Shudaya Param, it says. What does this Tallingai Shudaya Param? I don't know what is translated, but it mentions there that in order to wake him up, it was spoken. But what is this waking up thing? Waking up is this, that Shruti knows very well that by saying what sound or whatever suchana, indication it has to give, so that the jiva will wake up. Jiva will wake up. Sometimes it's illogical. Sometimes it is illogical. You can't apply logic there. Logic doesn't have any stand there. Because ajnanam or avidya in everybody is different, isn't it? In different ways it's present in all of us. Ajnanam or avidya is present in us. So what sound has to go inside so that the jiva inside will throw that ajnanam and wake up from that, that only the Shruti knows. Shruti knows. So keeping all that in the logic in spiritual life won't run, won't help. Logic won't help very much. Because yukti, logic is called yukti. Yukti stand against mukti. Mukti means liberation, isn't it? If you bring yukti into mukti, it won't work. What yukti will do, it will stand in front of mukti. It won't allow you to get to yukti. Therefore, so similarly here in the Brahma Sutram, it mentions here, whole one chapter in Brahma Sutram, you will find there, whole chapter, Tarkasya Apratishthanat Eva Mahim Abhi Moksha Prasangaha. One of the sutram in the Brahma Sutram is this. Tarkasya Apratishthanat Eva Mabhi Abhi Moksha Prasangaha. It says that if you continuously taking shelter of yukti, that's what we call as intellectual platform, yukti, isn't it? Intellect's problem is that, yukti, it's looking for logic all the time. If you do that, at some stage, Brahma Sutram says, you have to come and take the shelter of Krishna, Bhagavad Kripa, Krishna's mercy or grace, in other words. It ends up there. Because you will know that after studying Brahma Sutram, Upanishads, everything, at a certain point you will come to a dead stop. You can't go further from there. It is at that time you realize, I need Krishna's grace. Till then you won't accept it, because our intelligence and mind will tell us, study everything and logically you try to understand everything. You have done all that and you have gone through all the process, and finally you still feel that you haven't got it. It is at that time, Brahma Sutram says, Tarkasya Apratishthanat Evam Api Abhi Moksha Prasangaha. Then you start realizing, I still haven't got the truth. I still haven't got the realization yet in me. So, at that point, it mentions here that you will know that there is no other way except to depend on Krishna's grace. Even all these Brahmavadis, great sages also, they all belong to that category. They are all realized, but still there is something missing in their life. And that's why they are very dear to Krishna, because they have taken shelter in the proper way. After knowing very well that going through Shastram and studying very well, enough reflection has been done, enough analysis has happened inside, and they have reached a very higher stage of realization. But they came to a dead stop at some point. And then what did they do? They took complete shelter of Krishna and got Krishna's mercy. How did they get Krishna's mercy? The proof is that Upanishads came through them. That's the proof. The proof is Upanishads came through them to this world due to their surrender to Krishna, not due to their learning or knowledge. That they had studied well, they had realized many things in life, but somewhere they are also finding at the end, they can't cross beyond a certain point, a barrier somewhere. And that's when they surrendered to Krishna properly, and that surrender has taken them to this higher knowledge of the Upanishads has come through them. So, Tallingehi Shudayaha Param. So, with that lingam, Vedam is addressing us how, that is that 13th verse. Yadhashayanam samrajam mandinastal parakramehi pratyushe bhyate sushloger bodhayan dhyanu jivina. Bodhayan dhyanu jivina. So just like a king who is sleeping, how he is woken up by the bandi. Bandi they are called. Similarly, there is a king who is sleeping inside us. Inside all of us, there is a king who is sleeping. As the if you address it like that, is Antaryami, Krishna inside, that is the king who is sleeping there. He is not revealing himself to us. Remember this, that we mentioned that before also, that this, why does Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, this is my greatest opulence? Which one? This Antaryami thing. Aham అహం ఆల్ప గుడాకేశ సర్వభూతాశయస్థిత అహం ఆద్యం చ మధ్యం చ భూతానాం అందమేవ చ హి సేస్ దేర్ ఇసన్ట్ ఇట్ అండ్ దాట్ ఈస్ ది గ్రేటెస్ట్ సర్ప్రైజ్ ఇన్ ది భగవద్గీత అండ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం దేర్ ఇస్ నో అదర్ సర్ప్రైజ్ గ్రేటర్ దెన్ దాట్ దాట్స్ వై ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ రిమెంబర్ ఐ మెన్షన్ దాట్ స్టోరీ అబౌట్ ది హౌ పీపుల్ వండర్ హౌ కృష్ణ ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఇన్ సైడ్ మీ దే ఆస్క్ దిస్ క్వశ్చన్ అండ్ దే ఫైండ్ ఇట్ వెరీ హార్డ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దాట్ ఇసన్ ఇట్ that krishna's presence inside the heart therefore all this shastram vedam upanishads everything is required to wake up that awareness inside which one that verse aham adyanja madhyanja bhudanam andameva cha aham evasameva aham 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 we keep saying what is this aham krishna says that isn't it wherever in the bhagavad gita wherever you find aham that aham you should think in terms of that andaryami inside terms of andaryami inside if you look into bhagavad gita also I was reading somewhere I can't remember where it was Prabhupada mentions about that yeah if you look into that verse in the 18th chapter of bhagavad gita where tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata remember that verse that is in the 18th chapter 1862 yeah 1862 tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata తల్ ప్రసాదాల్ పరాం శాంతిం స్థానం ప్రాప్స్యసి శాశ్వతం సో హీ ఈస్ దేర్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ సరెండర్ అన్ టు హిమ్ అండ్ హీ షుడ్ వేక్ అప్ ఇన్ సైడ్ ఇఫ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ ఇఫ్ హీ వేక్స్ అప్ దెన్ ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఇస్ ఫినిష్డ్ అండ్ దాట్ వేకింగ్ అప్ ఇస్ వాట్ శృతి ఈస్ డూయింగ్ శృతి గీత ఇస్ దాట్ ఆల్ అబౌట్ ఇఫ్ యూ రీడ్ ద పర్పోర్ట్ ప్రాపర్ సేస్ దేర్ ఏ లివింగ్ ఎనిటీ షుడ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ సరెండర్ అన్ టు ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ హూ ఈస్ సిట్యుయేటెడ్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీవన్స్ హార్ట్ And that will relieve him from all kinds of miseries of this material existence. By such surrender, one will not only be released from all miseries in life, but at the end he will reach the Supreme Lord. The transcendental world is described in the Vedic literature as Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. Since all creation is the kingdom of God, everything material is actually spiritual. Now, sometimes when you read this, this is what is causing difficulty in many people's mind. Prabhupada is mentioning here, everything material is actually spiritual. People ask this question, so what is material then? It makes question, isn't it? Then they say, oh, I've given up, I'm not reading anymore, it's too much for me, I can't handle it. He says, people say like this, when they read all these things, that is why spiritual life, there is a peculiar way you have to go. Only then you will get it. If you bring logic into it, you're gone, lost it. That's what it is. We are talking about that, isn't it? Logic. Yukti cannot help you there. That's what it is. But they are saying, Prabhupada has written this way and that way, everything full of contradictions. One person told me this, who read Prabhupada's books. He says to me, whole book is full of contradictions, he says. One place is one, says one thing, another place is something else. He says, which one is it? He's asking, which one is the right one? This one or that one? He says, in this book, Chaitanya says something, in Bhagavatam is something else, in Bhagavad Gita he says something else, he says. So which one is the right one? So, and then this mind is such a mess. The mind and the intelligence is completely caught up in that yukti business. And you won't get anywhere by reading books like that. So that's why Prabhupada, when he mentions here, that everything material is actually spiritual. Oh, well, this is since when? This is like this. But he says, Paramam Padam especially refers to the eternal abode which is called the spiritual sky or Vaikuntham. Now it's Vaikuntham here. So where is Golokam then? So these are realizations. Please do not get carried away. But initially we have to think like the other way. Which one? That there is a place there, Golokam, and there is Krishna there. There is cowherd boys. There is calves and cows and all the beautiful description of the cow, this thing. And we inquire, because beginning is like that always. We inquire, what's my swarupam there? What will I be doing there? And they also, in the philosophical level, they'll also present it to us that material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. And everything what's happening here is there in the spiritual world. Everything Prabhupada has spoken like that also. But initially, that understanding is necessary in order to keep it going. Because at that particular time, that instruction will help in that way, to start with something. And as you go, move on further and further, you start becoming a little bit more thoughtful about it and trying to understand this statement, like, actually all material is actually spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Then where is the spiritual world? If it is like that, where is the separate spiritual world? Then also in the Bhagavad Gita says, only 1/4 of them is spiritual sky, 3/4 is material sky. It mentions there, isn't it? In another place it is there. So, and here Prabhupada is saying, everything is spiritual. There is no such thing called material. It doesn't exist. So, you can see if you read that, Sarvasya, in the 15th chapter, Prabhupada mentions, Bhagavad Gita it is stated, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishtam. The Lord is seated in everyone's heart. And so this recommendation that one should surrender unto the super soul sitting within means that one should surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. That's what it means. Surrendering to the super soul means surrendering to Krishna within the heart. Now, from this you have to understand that this super soul is the only form which will be with you all time. Temple, deity and all that is not permanent. Suppose you go away from here to another place to live, then you may not have a connection with the deity at the temple. That is why this super soul relationship is a permanent relationship for us. And it is to super soul we have to have all the communication with. All communication is with the super soul. That is why it mentions here, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharada Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsyasi Shashvatam. Eternal relationship is with that super soul. Sthanam Prapsyasi Shashvatam, he says there, isn't it? So here, similarly, so you can see that in English also we say something is mystic, isn't it? Mysticism. What is that? Mysticism is this. Then in so many ways he used the word that mysticism, mystic. What does that excel? It's very difficult to define that. Although practically to say the word mysticism, if you say in a spiritual language, Yaugigam, you have to say. Yaugigam means it's related to some yoga process, the result of that. So that means when a spiritual master is instructing the disciple, actually he is not directly instructing the disciple. He is not directly instructing the disciple. What he is instructing is to the Antaryami within the disciple. Because it is there the decision is made. Because we don't understand, okay, this is talking about realized soul, realized personality. Like we see the great, great spiritual masters in different traditions, whether it is Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vallabhacharya, all that great, great souls, when and their great followers, great personalities who had realized, all of them, when they are talking to someone whom they have decided to give that realization to their disciple, they don't talk to that person directly, they talk to the Antaryami inside. Because Antaryami inside the Guru talks to the Antaryami inside the disciple. That is the link between the Antaryami to Antaryami. That is why this process, so that Antaryami in the other person, is the same Antaryami inside him. The person who is giving the instruction, inside him, that Antaryami is the same Antaryami sitting in the other person also. So practically he is addressing to himself, to the Antaryami within himself. So whereas if you compare this, a teacher is teaching at the school. Teacher is teaching at the school. So there what's happening? Teacher is teaching and the student is listening. And the student is listening. Exactly opposite is this process. Exactly opposite to that is this process. The guru is speaking, but the disciple is realizing from within. Antaryami inside the disciple is waking up. Guru is speaking, But Antaryami inside the disciple is waking up. So that is why you can, but children, in the school, when the teacher is teaching, the teacher knows the subject, isn't it? The student doesn't know. Student has to know it. And teacher has to teach the student, and teacher has to make the student understand. That's the teacher's job, isn't it? He has to teach the student and make the student understand everything. Everything, understand. So, saying this only the teacher is teaching. But when a realized soul, when he is talking this prajnanam brahma, aham brahmasmi and all that to his students, all to his students, he will never think that I am a realized soul, I am a teacher, and the student is a ignorant person or he is a student. He never thinks like that. Because if he does like that, it will not work. At that time first, the spiritual master has to realize that he, in him, Antaryami is present there also, who is within me. Only if he has woken up to that state, whatever he says will happen in the disciple. Will happen in the, otherwise it won't happen. So that is why he mentions there, suppose he thinks that I am jnani realized and he is ignorant and I have to make him understand. If you try in that way, gadiratra nasti, Upanishad says. Gadiratra nasti. That's what Shruti says. He has no hope. That person, he has no hope. So what does the realized soul does? He is thinking that he realizes very well that I am within him. I am within him. That means that separation has gone between the spiritual master and the disciple. In other words, he is seeing that perfection, what he is experiencing within that disciple also. And this is known as Swarupa Diksha. Swarupa Diksha. Knowing his Swarupam and giving that direction to that disciple from within. That is what is called Swarupa Diksha. Swarupa Diksha, it is addressed as, so that everything addressing to the Antaryami inside of the disciple. So many times you will notice this, that understanding is not important in Gurukulam. In Gurukulam, in the olden days when they taught, if they have understood or not, that question was not important at all. Because if you read all the great personalities, including Buddha, Shankaracharya and many others, if you read through their life, you will notice this, that as I mentioned this before also, when Buddha started speaking after realization, one person heard that, then he said, I've got a lot of questions. He said, Buddha says, come and stay with me for a year, and then you can ask me the question after that. So another disciple of Buddha says to him that if you are looking for an answer to your question, ask for that right now. Don't wait for a year, because after a year you won't have the question either. That's the problem. So question won't be there. So there won't be any answer either. So that's what has happened. Because I have also come here like you one day with full of questions. But he told me to stay for a year and now I have no questions to ask. So what should I do? He says like this. So question has gone, answer has also gone. There was neither questions. It becomes insignificant, he says. So that is in case of Buddha. In Shankaracharya's case, he says in a different way. He didn't tell him that, he does not speak like the way Buddha has spoken, but he says to him, come with me and stay with me for some time, because Acharya knew if I wake him up from within, that question will go. Only when he doesn't wake up, this question is coming from the mind, you see. That's why if the mind gets settled, Shanti comes inside and Antaryami wakes up from inside, there will be no more question after that. There's no more question after that. So never once you find any of the Acharyas try to make their disciples understand anything. Understanding is not the issue. But because if you try to make people understand with the spiritual topics, if you try to make them understand, it will not work. On the other, it will cause more problems. On the other hand, if you wake up the antaryami inside of that person, in a natural way, that awareness or waking up, he will come to know everything on his own. So this is a big difference between Gurukulam method of teaching and school teaching. In school teaching, why I'm saying all these things, that it's not going to happen to any one of us now, the way we are now and the way we live. But it is good to know what spiritual life and what our way of teaching. What happens to us, that in spiritual life we keep asking questions, isn't it? In questions and answers is not a system in the Gurukulam. It's never done like that. Because properly advanced and realized souls who are running the Gurukulam, they know very well that this system won't work. Which one? Asking questions and giving answer to that. Their principle is that instead of questioning and answering, somehow or the other, in the disciple's heart, that Antaryami, if I wake him up, who is within himself, in a normal course, all doubts will be cleared within and he will reach perfectional state. That is the principle behind it. That's it. Which is a very subtle but very noble principle. It's a very subtle thing. That means the person who is... That's why in the Gurukula system of teaching, you can't advertise for a teacher and get him on a job and salary and teach things. It won't work there. Nowadays we are saying we have opened Gurukulam, we have opened this school, that school, and we say we are giving spiritual knowledge and spiritual education and all that. We say, what spiritual education are we giving? All false things we are teaching. The whole process is lost its purity, isn't it? We have made it commercial and we have made it much more viable to common man, we say. It won't work like that. That if you really want a Gurukulam, that's the only way Gurukulam will run. And that's the only way it will work. You have to have people in that caliber. Caliber means that stay, who are in that realized platform. If they run the Gurukulam, and if you have disciples who also have that subtlety in them, then all these things will happen. Otherwise it won't happen. What we see in the modern world is a complete, a version which I don't know, is the version 8 or 9 or 10 of the Windows advanced stage or whatever you want to call it. But here you can see here, that is what. So the important thing here is that if you wake him up, the problem is solved. That is the solution. So a person who is blind, for him, if you tell him this is coconut, this is mango, this is jackfruit, it won't make any sense to him, would it? Because he can't see anything. So similarly, if you tell him that, if you give him some help so that he can see things properly, and then it will help. Because if you open up his eyes properly, if it is something covered by something, if you do some operation and make his vision clear, he will see properly. Similarly, if you open up that eye inside eye, which is called as Jnananjanam. You know that verse we sing? What is that? Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshur Unmilidam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. The verse is very good. And the verse has got a very high standard. Ajnana Timiram. Our main problem is Ajnanam. Ajnanam means ignorance in us. And what does spiritual master do? Jnana Anjana Shalagaya. He does the operation. Yeah. He does the operation within. And it says, I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances to him. Now the question here is, has he opened? That question we have to ask, isn't it? We say, verse is very good. But how it happens is like this. That after, if the Antaryami is in perfect state, we are talking about in the perfectional stage, everything. Then, by the spiritual master who is a realized soul, through his association, if it has woken up inside Antaryami, then that is that Jnana Anjana Shalakaya means. Jnana Anjana Shalaka. Shalaka, Jalukam and Shalaka are the two instruments for conducting operation. You will see Dhanvantari Murti when he appeared in the eighth canto. He had these two things, Jaluka and Shalakam. Shalaka is an instrument for operation, conducting operation. So, Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilidam Yena. He has performed that operations and removed that cataract from me. Not the attract of the eye, cataract of the eye in the heart. In my ignorance, Ajnanam inside. Oh, Ajnana Timirandhasya, Ajnanam is my cataract. And he has removed that Jnananjana Shalakaya through the operation of Jnanam Shalaka and Chakshurun Milidam Yena, he has given my proper eyesight. Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. That's a spiritual master's duty. Spiritual master is supposed to do all these things. So, here you can see that Chakshurun means so Vedam is also doing the same thing. Like waking up the king by the bandis, that his Antaryami is woken up inside. And that is what Vedam is doing. And that waking up Antaryami inside, therefore the name came Shruti. Shruti. Shruti is a word. Because the word here you can see, it is called Shruti Gita. Isn't it? It's called Shruti Gita. So, when they write poetry, there is what they call it as, what do they say? I don't know what they say in English. When you write, meter. Yeah, I think it is meter, isn't it? A certain number of words or number of letters in each line. Stanza is verses, isn't it? There are some rules regarding that while writing the poetry, isn't it? So that is why this particular Shruti Gita is written on a format called Tat Kutakam. That is what it is mentioned there. Tat Kutakam, that is the vrittam. In Sanskrit they call it as vrittam. Shruti Gita is written in that vrittam. Shruti, Vedastuti is another name for that. Shruti is another name for the Vedam. Another name for the Vedam, Dharma Shastram, all other supplementaries. They are also all included in the Smriti. Isn't it? Shruti and Smriti are different. Shruti is what is revealed. Smriti is what we have received from the sages in order to live a life in this world in a way. If you live according to the Smriti, your access to Shruti will be very good. That's why Smriti has come. Because simply giving Shruti is not enough to the world. The Rishis gave us Shruti and then told us, we are given you Shruti. No, that's not good enough. They also told us how, in what way we should live in this world that you can access Shruti. To keep us in a certain state of life. That's what Smriti came. Smriti came like that. Smriti came in that way. So Smriti is telling us how to live in this world. And Varnashrama Dharmam and all that is a part of Smriti. It's not a part of Shruti. It's a part of Smriti. Varnashrama Dharmam and many things associated with Varnashramam, it's all like Manu Samhita. It's a Manu Smriti it is, isn't it? Similarly, other sages, Swayambhu Manu gave us Manu Smriti. Then Parashara Maharshi gave us Parashara Smriti. Yajnavalkya Maharshi gave us Yajnavalkya Smriti. So, great sages, they have found out that if you have no discipline in life properly, Vedic knowledge is not accessible. You see, in order to access the knowledge in the Vedam, we need certain discipline in life. A certain way of life is necessary in this world. Therefore, Shruti was given. So, Smriti was given. So, Shruti is the origin. The knowledge is in the Shruti. But to get to Shruti, you need Smriti. That is Shruti Smriti. Shruti Smriti Puranaanam Alayam Karunalayam. Namami Bhagavalpadam Shankaram Lokashankaram. There is a verse. That Acharya Swamiji only not only gave us Shruti, he explained, but he took a lot of interest in the Smriti as well. That's why he insisted on Varnashrama Dharmam and other things associated with that. So, if we don't have it, it is difficult. You can see how we are battling with life, in spiritual life. Why? Because there is no Varnashrama Dharmam, isn't it? No Varnam, no Ashramam, nothing. Everything going on like day after day. And then we are saying why we are not realizing the truth. But realization is possible when we follow the instructions completely. So here what he says here, so Shrutaya, now that Bodham, everything is, rest everything else is Dharma Shastram. You see, Dharma Shastram means all the Smriti, various Smritis and other literature, which helps us to discipline this life properly and make our approach to Shruti easier for us. If we live in that particular way, Shruti is accessible. Shruti is accessible. You can see, we have given up our good habits in life, isn't it? Waking up in the morning and spending all the morning hours in spiritual life, spiritual activities. Maintaining that simplicity in life, being satisfied with simple things in life. And unnecessary entertainment activities to engage the mind because there is no shanti inside. All these are against Smriti. Smriti doesn't approve any of these things. Smriti expects us to rigidly follow the Varnashrama Dharmam. If it is done, access to Shruti will be very good. That's what they are saying to us. So, and that is why that, but in Shruti Gita what you find, that these verses that are spoken in the Shruti Gita is directly waking up the Antaryami inside. Not Smriti, it is Shruti. That you must remember. Shruti is that one which is meant for directly waking up the Antaryami inside. Antaryami inside. So, when we say Vedas personified is glorifying Krishna, you have to understand what the Shrutis have spoken. Personified form as Shrutis, it's mentioned that Shruti, what they have spoken, so that Antaryami inside will wake up in a person. Antaryami inside will wake up in a person. In this way, Shruti Gita begins. Shruti Gita begins from that verse onwards. That is where Shruti Gita begins. Up to this town, now what we have spoken so far is all the background behind Shruti Gita. I'm sure that you have got a little bit of understanding that what the Shruti Gita means. Everything is, Upanishads has only one goal. Remember this, to get us out of this state. It is not important whether Golokam exists or not, whether Kailasam exists or not. The message is, we, the people who are suffering here, they have to once for all get out, escape from this misery of material life. It is only possible when self-realization happens. And in order that to happen, Vedam has given us that knowledge through Upanishads, through various other Shastrams also, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they all have this one goal, once for all, to terminate this material existence. That's the goal, nothing else. What happens after that, that you will see when you get there, what happens. But today, important thing is to free ourselves from this state of affairs, what we are in. That's more important. That is why, up to now, these discussions between Narayana Maharshi and Narada Maharshi, similarly between the Kumaras in the Janalokam, and the discussion between Shuka Brahmarshi and Parikshit, all these things, and now bringing out that how Vedas have spoken about Krishna, the purpose behind that is, this Krishna who is in heart everywhere, in everyone, if he wakes up, the problem is solved, that's the end of it. So waking him up, how is that possible? For that we need Bhagavad Gita, we need Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no other way it can happen. So we'll take that from, start from tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.